Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
No, I wouldn't buy nothing that has radiation on it. I went through radiation, so I know what it does to the body. So why would I want it in my food?
The FDA says okay to irradiating the salad stuff to get rid of salmonella and other germs as of tomorrow. And no, it won't glow in the dark.
Lettuce and spinach will now be zapped to kill germs that might cause future outbreaks.
Irradiation is one additional tool. It's not a magic bullet.
This may work especially well on bagged lettuce and salads, which are sealed and can't be recontaminated. But Kansas State University's Dr. Doug Powell says irradiation may also make the products less attractive to health-conscious Americans.
The big question is, will consumers buy it?
Tammy McCormick, CBS News, New York.
The gas pump that sucks so much money out of your wallet may be accurate. On the other hand, who knows? CBS News Chief Investigative Correspondent Armin Katayan for the CBS Evening News.
Our investigation uncovered huge gaps in the state inspection system, including standards that vary wildly from state to state, and a surprising lack of inspectors nationwide, just about 600 or so.
And he says some pumps aren't inspected for years at a time. Experts are saying gasoline prices may bump up again soon, with today's oil prices taking a $5.50 jump to more than $121 a barrel. Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 13 points today. The Nasdaq was down almost 9. Like a round of political monopoly. Politico asked Republican John McCain how many homes he owns.
How many houses do you and Mrs. McCain have?
I think I'll have my staff get to you.
Okay. Democrat Barack Obama's quick reaction.
I guess if you think that being rich means you got to make $5 million, and if you don't know how many houses you have, then it's not surprising that you might think the economy was fundamentally strong.
McCain's campaign asked, does a guy who made more than $4 million last year, Obama, just got back from vacation on a private beach in Hawaii and bought his own million-dollar mansion with the help of a convicted felon, really want to get into a debate about houses? A threatening letter with some kind of white powder in it was delivered to John McCain's office in Denver. Police, the FBI, and the Secret Service are on it now. This is Relentless Rain, pounding on CBS News correspondent Peter King's windshield as he drove through Volusia County, Florida. If he follows Faye, he'll be in Georgia soon. Widespread flooding is Faye's legacy in Florida, and two women have died swimming in heavy surf there. The sheriff of Lake County, Illinois, is in jail. Sheriff Mark Curran put himself behind bars. He says to walk a few steps in inmate shoes and to learn and talk to them about their experiences there. He said he knows he can never completely live their life because he can leave any time he wants, but he wants to gain their trust if he can. This is CBS News.
Guys, it's not every day a man can show his true colors, but you can on Friday, August 29th, College Colors Day 2008. That's right, with college football on the way, it's time to get to the men's store inside JCPenney. You'll find your college colors and get a great deal. This week, all authentic NCAA jerseys, tees, and fleece are on sale for 25 to 50% off. So don't miss your chance to show your true colors. College Colors Day, Friday, August 29th. And don't forget that the men's store is the smart place to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
Who's always there for you? Your mum? Maybe, yeah, but sometimes she's a bit chatty with you. Oi, when are you going to get a girlfriend business? Now, GEICO, they're always there for you. They have been for over 70 years. They insure over 8 million policyholders, and their customer satisfaction is at 97%. With GEICO service, no wonder it's the third largest automobile insurance company. Your mum might cook better, but everything else, it's a very close call.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
For the first time since softball became an Olympic sport, the American women lost. The gold goes to Japan.
For the American softball players, the loss alone was tough. What made this even more difficult, though, was the fact that this could be their last Olympic appearance. Softball will not be in the 2012 London Olympics. The earliest it could return is 2016. U.S. pitcher Kat Osterman did not want to talk about that.
The loss just hurts too much right now in the present moment to think about too far in the future.
Japan's win is being called one of the biggest upsets in softball history. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Summer Olympics in Beijing.
Police in Parkland, Washington are keeping an eye out for a man who three times now has driven up to an espresso stand served by bikinied baristas and exposed himself. Police are hanging around just in case he comes again. He may not. Last time he drove up, one of the young women tossed a cup of scalding coffee water in his lap. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Choosing the right new mattress was a big deal to my husband because he's never made a mistake.
That's correct.
Wallpapering over all the outlets wasn't a mistake.
Huge energy saver.
Cutting down a tree and landing it on the garage.
Is the new garage not better?
So, with his mistake-free record on the line, he thought we should go with the sure thing, the Sleep Number bed.
We can adjust our sides independently on a Sleep Number bed, so we're both sure to be happy.
And this time, he really was right.
Again.
Over 5 million people have discovered you can't go wrong with the personalized comfort of a Sleep Number bed. Just lie back and set your Sleep Number anywhere from 0 to 100. Higher for a firmer feel, lower for softer support. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
I love my Sleep Number bed.
My streak's unbroken.
Amazing.
Right now, during our biggest sale of the year, every Sleep Number bed is on sale with instant cash savings or interest-free financing for 3 full years on approved credit. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for a Select Comfort store near you. Hurry, sale ends Labor Day.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast. From Big Sur on the Monterey coastline, all the way to Seattle. It's great to have you listening, wherever you are, and whatever device you use to find the Peter B. Collins Show. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, and you can call the program anytime you like. That's 888-573-8372. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com, and you're always welcome to drop me a line. Whether you agree or disagree with me or elements on the program, we love and value your feedback. Ordinarily, we've been checking in at this time with Dr. Paul Larruti, the Free Gaza Movement, and their efforts to sail from Cyprus to Gaza, challenging the Israeli blockade. We diligently tried to reach their satellite phone in the last few minutes, but the line is busy. So they're talking with somebody else, and we'll try to catch up with them tomorrow at this very same time. In a moment, Faz Shakir should join us from the Center for American Progress. There's a lot of news out of Washington that we'll talk about. Later this hour, Bob Barr, a former conservative Republican congressman from Georgia, will join us. He is the Libertarian candidate for President of the United States this year, and we will talk with him about a number of issues, including restoring the Constitution and my Fourth Amendment values, which I consider to be very important. Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues, who was kind enough to sit in for me on the program yesterday, will be joining us next hour. I'm going to talk about U.S. arms sales to Iraq, the call for even more troops in Afghanistan, and some other issues that have come up recently. As we kick off the Free Speech Zone later today, Tim Carpenter from Progressive Democrats will join us. We'll get a preview of the Democratic National Convention from a progressive viewpoint. That starts Monday in Denver, and of course, we will be there bringing you live coverage. And if you happen to listen to our program on the weekend in Portland or Seattle, you're welcome to log on to peterbcollins.com or green960.com. Green960 is going to provide expanded streaming, live streaming of the program between 3 and 6 p.m. Pacific time each day as we originate from the convention. So I hope you'll be able to catch that stream. And that, again, is green960.com. PeterBcollinShow.com. And as we're speaking to you, I will be in Seattle on Friday to give a talk to the meeting of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and will also originate our program from the studios of KPTK, Progressive Talk 1090 in Seattle, the affiliate that carries our program on Saturday and Sunday nights. So I'm looking forward to a quick parachute trip to Seattle and should be engaging with a lot of interesting people. Then, of course, we take off Sunday. Producer Katrina Rill and I will be in Denver all next week, and I'm looking forward to Radio Row there at the Democratic National Convention. And at this time, as I speak to you on Thursday afternoon, we still do not know who the Democratic vice presidential pick will be. And I'll tell you a little story. Just last night, we were sitting around the house. My stepson David is home from college, and one of his buddies was there, Ben. And Ben got a text message. And the text message just said, "It's Hillary." And that caused quite a stir at our house, because it is entirely possible that Barack Obama will name Hillary Clinton as his VP. It certainly would make her speech on Tuesday night and former President Bill Clinton's speech on Wednesday night one of celebration. But I probably wouldn't be too thrilled about that. And I'm trying to process it, because given that it's a possibility, I'm thinking, okay, you know, maybe that is what's going to happen here, and can I accept that? And I guess the answer is I don't really have a choice. But I would prefer, of all the people mentioned to date, Bill Richardson of New Mexico, I can accept Joe Biden. Andy Borowitz had a dispatch a couple of days ago that Joe Biden is practicing a 50,000-word acceptance speech should he be named VP. And, yes, he is a windbag of a guy. Very smart, very well-versed on foreign policy. The biggest negative he has on domestic issues is that he's from Delaware, and Delaware is the site of many banks, credit card companies. The people who brought you the so-called reform of the bankruptcy law, it was loaded in favor of the creditors and not the beleaguered borrowers. And I think that that's something that will come up in the campaign if Biden is named as the VP. But other than that, it's his persona and the fact that Delaware is not that significant a state, and that Delaware is going to be delivered for Obama with or without Joe Biden on the ticket. So those are some of the things that are under consideration right now. And I credit the Obama campaign, because they've created a lot of drama, and there have been zero leaks. Even at this stage, so close to what we presume is the announcement on Friday, that's when I expect the text messages to fly. I do give them credit for keeping it under wraps, as well as they have, and as long as they have. Well, it looks like we're not going to be able to reach Faz Shakir today. He, of course, joins us almost every week from the Center for American Progress. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. And so I'll carry on without him. And if you want to call in, their line's open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And just one more mention about the Democratic National Convention. I want to thank all of the people who have come forward offering to help underwrite the expenses for our travel and coverage of the DNC. People from all... I got an email from Wisconsin this morning. Someone I've never met in Madison who said, "I want to help cover your costs for the Democratic Convention." And it was a great way to start my day. And just today, the law office of Lawrence Strick signed up to become an advertising sponsor of our coverage. And so I still need a few more bucks to help cover the costs. And if you're able to do that, I welcome your support. And if you're not, there's no guilt, no pressure, no door-to-door salesperson will call. But you have two choices. You can go to my website, peterbcollins.com, and right there at the top of the homepage is a button called You Can Help. And that's how you can make a PayPal contribution. And if you prefer to send me a check or even currency, you can do that by mail at P.O. Box 100, that's Box 100, Mill Valley, California, zip code 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, 800-259-9942. And again, I'm very grateful to all of those who have stepped forward to help. Well, I took the day off yesterday, but as usual, I can't escape breaking news. And I was so saddened to hear of the sudden illness and death of a great congresswoman from my birth state of Ohio, Stephanie Tubbs Jones. She served with distinction from Cleveland, where she was the first black woman to serve on the courts there. I think it was a superior court or municipal court. She went on to run for Congress, and she distinguished herself. I'll tell you a quick story. Early January 2005, it was about January the 6th, I drove from Detroit in an ice storm to Columbus, Ohio, because the election protection team in Columbus, led by Bob Fetrakis and Harvey Wasserman, they were holding a rally. Jesse Jackson was there, and Stephanie Tubbs Jones was there. And if you've seen her photograph or you know anything about her, she was a BBBW, a big, big, beautiful black woman. And here it was January, an ice storm on the outside, but she was leading the challenge to certification of the results from Ohio in the 2004 presidential election, which I and others believe was a stolen election. And Richard Hayes Phillips has written a definitive book now that I think establishes that very clearly. But there in January of 2005, Stephanie Tubbs Jones, who was in her early 50s at the time, was sweating profusely. And she was a little embarrassed about it. But as a person of great dignity and, I think, also a very accessible person, she said, "Well, I'm having my own personal summer up here." And anybody of that age who knows what menopause can do understands what she was talking about. But there she was leading the charge, and in 2005, she found a Senate sponsor to challenge the results of the election, and that was California's junior senator, Barbara Boxer, who, along with every other senator, had failed to do so in 2001. And so I will never forget the work of Stephanie Tubbs Jones. I got to meet her and interview her on several occasions in Washington over the last few years, a staunch supporter of election protection and election integrity, and a voice that will be truly missed in the Congress. We'll take a break here and return in just a moment. If you want to call into the program, you can talk with me. I've got some other news items and things that I'm going to pass along here in the next few minutes. And then Congressman Bob Barr, former congressman, Republican from Georgia, will be joining us in about 10 or 15 minutes to talk about his run for president on the Libertarian ticket this year. 888-5-PETER-B is my number, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Been mattress shopping lately? Then you know the stores around here are pretty much the same, with the same confusing mix of brands and models. But there's a new store in town, one that's very different. The name is SC41 Furniture. The mattress systems at SC41 are totally unique. We start with durable birchwood slats that can be adjusted to match your body contour and ease pressure. Inside the mattress are hand-assembled honeycomb steel springs. They give wall-to-wall support and move independently to reduce motion. Then a layer of high-quality natural latex cushioning holds its shape while providing extra support and comfort. All with a stretch cotton cover that adapts to your body contour, resists moisture, and is 100% natural. So if you've been to the other mattress stores and you're not impressed, come to the new store that offers a better kind of mattress. SC41 Furniture on 41st Avenue, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz.
on the web at sc41.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117. Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Show. Brian Setzer there. If the house is rocking, don't bother knocking is the name of that tune. And I'm looking at an article here in Thursday's New York Times that suggests that the FBI would be able to bust into your home without knocking and without a warrant from a court. Excuse me. A Justice Department plan would loosen restrictions on the FBI to allow agents to open a national security or criminal investigation against someone without any clear basis for suspicion. The plan may be made public next month. Little is known about its precise language, but civil liberties advocates say they fear it could give the government even broader license to open terrorism investigations. Now, keep in mind that under the Patriot Act, they already have the right to use what are called national security letters. And these don't require a court to review them. These are simply an FBI agent saying, I want to look at Peter B. Collins' bank account because I've got some questions. And they don't have to go justify it before a judge.
They don't have to prove probable cause, which is my Fourth Amendment right. And, as you know, under the national security letters, they have a gag clause that prevents those who receive them from disclosing them. So they could go to my bank and say, we want to look at Peter B's transactions. And by the way, don't tell Peter B. If you do, we'll lock you up. Now, these are police state activities. These are standards of a dictatorship, not a nation that is ruled by laws. And this is something I'll bring up with Bob Barr, who is the Libertarian candidate for president, who will be joining us about 10 minutes from now. Ben's on the line from Salinas. Ben, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show. How are you doing today?
Oh, Peter, we must be psychic, you and I, because this very thing, I heard about it the first thing in the news this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI can start a file on you because of your ethnicity or because you openly disagree with the administration. That is no probable cause whatsoever. Why doesn't the FBI investigate 9/11 and see who killed our citizens?
Well, that would be a good place to start, but we really need to insist in whether it's that investigation or one into Ben from Salinas or Peter B.,
yep,
that appropriate procedures be followed. If I've broken the law, the government has the right to investigate me. Yep. But there are procedures and standards
probable cause.
On our Constitution. You're right. The Fourth Amendment clearly says that there has to be probable cause.
And you have to be able to confront your accusers and see the evidence.
That's right.
And two of the sponsors, these sneaky SOBs, Russ Feingold and Ed Kennedy, and there's two other guys. What kind of Nazis are these people? When are we going to get rid of these Liebermans and Pelosi's
Feingold? Wait, Russ Feingold wrote the letter in opposition to this, Ben.
Oh, I thought he was a sponsor. And
nope.
I apologize to him on the air, and I stand corrected. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah. But
we've got to fight this kind of fascism.
Yes,
or
we do.
We're going to lose it.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben. I really appreciate
you,
your call, and I'm glad you're on to this one, too. And given that the Democrats caved on the FISA amendments, what we have seen is the Bush administration, even in its lame duck final days, is emboldened to demand even more. And this all gets back to taking impeachment off the table. They know there is no penalty waiting for their law breaking. And so after they get what they want, they come back for even more. And we are the ones who will pay long after Bush and Cheney have settled into retirement to count all their war profits. Condoleezza Rice sealed a deal with Poland to plant a few missile defense launchers inside that country. And it's so ridiculous. The system doesn't work. It infuriates the Russians. And there simply is no benefit to the United States. We're playing a game, pretending that we're going to protect Europe from Iran and North Korea, when it's very clear that it is Russia that we're concerned about. Also at thinkprogress.org today, John McCain does not know how many houses he and his rich wife Cindy own. He gets lost when he starts to count all the condos. Maybe somebody can help him out. Also, John McCain's spokesperson says McCain would increase taxes on the oil companies. Prove it. I want to see that one in much more detail. But the killer here, the coup de grace, is John McCain saying there are too many lobbyists in Washington. Whenever there's a corrupt system, then you're going to have these birds of prey descend on it to get their share of the spoils. Lobbyists don't come to my office because they know they're not going to get an earmark. No, they'll get a meeting. And he is surrounded by 160 lobbyists. And most recently, we've been talking about Randy Scheuneman, who is his foreign policy advisor, who up until March was receiving huge cash payments as a consultant to the nation of Georgia. And now he's advising McCain on supporting Georgia. And the media mentions it, but there's no outrage. No outrage about that, because, hey, John McCain's the straight-talking maverick. That's his media image, and he's going to stand by it. We'll take a break and return. Former Congressman Bob Barr up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Instinctively, we tend to associate power with size, great big windmills, giant dams and turbines. And yet, we know that nuclear power involves the splitting or fusion of atoms, the elementary submicroscopic building blocks of everything. And we also know, all too well, that the smallest living things, the virus, can wreak havoc among the largest, including ourselves. You know that influenza in World War I killed more people than the war itself did. Originally, computers were huge. That UNIVAC, first used in election night coverage, filled a huge room. There's more computing power now in your laptop, or even in your pocket. And as digital devices shrink to microscopic size, they're looking now for batteries half the size of a human cell and built, imagine this, with viruses. That story in several billion microseconds.
Office Depot is giving you the chance to win a trip for four to Hollywood, to attend a concert benefiting cancer research at City of Hope, starring Miley Cyrus and the Jonas Brothers. You'll also get to meet the artists backstage. Shop at Office Depot for your back-to-school needs. Then take your receipt to www.officedepotsweepstakes.com to enter and get official rules and free entry details. Sweepstakes ends 11:59 p.m. Pacific Time, August 29, 2008. No purchase necessary. Void in Rhode Island and where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. residents 13 and older.
I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice then. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $64 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the hottest gift.
Researchers at MIT have already developed two of the three components of microbatteries that one day will be used to power implantable medical sensors, or whole laboratories no bigger than a computer chip. The computer chip itself was a great breakthrough, and that's been around for decades now. These eeny-weeny batteries will be built with the help of a virus, the M13 virus, which measures 6.5 nanometers in diameter and 880 nanometers in length. MIT professors Yetming Chang, Angela Belcher, and Paula Hammond I've gotten the M13 viruses to assemble on top of polymer layers, coating posts that act as the solid electrolyte and battery separator. And now they're working on the cathode part of that battery, also to be virus assembled. That's the positive electrode. Once they do that, they look forward to integrating the microbatteries with biological organisms. Imagine what could be done someday with power sources like that. Think of the human problems that could be solved if the human species can survive long enough to develop them. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas. For reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 33 minutes into the hour. And I'm pleased to be joined today by the Libertarian candidate for president, a former congressman and a former Republican, Bob Barr. Congressman, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. How are you, sir?
Peter, great to be with you. I'm here in Georgia today, but it's great to be with you and your listeners.
Well, thank you for joining us, and I have to just clarify here, did I get it right that you are a former congressman and a former Republican?
I was a Republican congressman for 8 years while I was in the House of Representatives from 1995 until 2003.
Right. And I'm just trying to parse this carefully. At what point did you leave the Republican Party?
I left the Republican Party when it left me. Over the last several years, the Republican Party has veered so sharply away from its small government individual liberty roots toward big government and big spending that I formally decided it was no longer a party that wished me to be a part of it as somebody who believes in smaller government and more individual liberty. So I formally joined the Libertarian Party in 2006.
Mm-hmm. Very good, sir. And just a quick look at your history. I did a Wikipedia search, and I was surprised to learn that you graduated from high school in Tehran, Iran.
I did. My dad was... Growing up, my dad did civil engineering, and he would work on different water projects overseas, and darned if I didn't find myself in my senior year of high school in Tehran. So that's actually where I graduated from high school.
And take a moment here to describe your view of the Bush administration's saber-rattling toward Iran.
Well, I don't like all this saber-rattling, whether it's vis-a-vis Iran or against Russia. I think we need to be a lot more careful about threats to use the U.S. military and get the U.S. Armed forces involved around the world in battles that either bear no relationship to what we're doing or our national security interests.
Mm-hmm.
There are all sorts of things that we could be doing with and in Iran far short of getting involved militarily. I think it's unnecessary. Iran is many, many years away from having sort of weapons and delivery systems that would pose a real threat to us. And it is a much different, much more dangerous situation than Iraq was. I think we'd be making a mistake to get involved militarily over there. And there's so much that we can do from a trade standpoint and working directly with the people of Iran to look for the common interests that we do have. There's an awful lot of commonality between our interests and the interests of the people of Iran.
And Congressman Barr, I've been concerned recently that both of the major party candidates for president kind of blithely talk about inserting more troops in Afghanistan. The current proposal now is 30,000 additional troops. And I have a real problem because we don't have a defined mission, and Afghanistan has never been successfully occupied by an outside power, including the Soviet Union.
It makes no sense. It's inconsistent if our goal is, in fact, to locate Osama bin Laden and those specifically that that perpetrated the attacks of 9/11 or who have been involved in other acts against us. If, in fact, our goal is to locate them and take them out, we don't need a huge military force over there, and therefore I'm forced to conclude that the mission is very different. It's very similar to what it was or seems to still be in Iraq, and that is to do something that President Bush said as a candidate that we would not do, and that is to nation build.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to have troops over there to prop up the government of Karzai over there and to prop up the warlords, and that is not a wise or appropriate use of U.S. armed forces, if you ask me.
But would you be supportive of strategic efforts using our military, not CIA covert ops, but our overt military, to try to track down and capture the leaders of Al-Qaeda in the rural parts of Pakistan?
Absolutely. We ought to track them down and take them out wherever we can find them. I think the best use is a very surgical, very specific, very focused, limited operations, whether it is through the use of covert forces or a combination of covert forces and overt forces. But I'd spent about 8 years back in the 1970s with the CIA, and have at least a passing knowledge of the capabilities of our intelligence services. And if we really put our focused, concentrated efforts to find these folks, I think that we could, in fact, find them, and it would not require the use of tens of thousands. thousands of U.S. troops occupying for going on 7 years now two countries in that part of the world, Afghanistan and Iraq.
Congressman, I'm glad you referenced your experience with the Central Intelligence Agency. Tomorrow at this time, I'm going to be talking with Ron Suskind, who has published the book with some stunning revelations, including that the Bush administration, probably through the vice president's office, tried to push the CIA to get Al Habush, Habush was the intelligence chief under Saddam Hussein, to sign a forged letter, which would have linked the phony claim of Nigerian yellowcake uranium to a phony claim that Saddam was linked to 9/11 and that Mohammed Atta had been in Iraq when we know he hadn't been in the summer of 2001. And as a former public servant at the CIA, what is your view of the way the agency has been used and, in my view, abused by the Bush-Cheney administration?
It's a very serious matter. If there's one arm or one agency or one function of the U.S. government that, above all others, in addition, of course, to the Department of Justice, which we would want to keep completely apart from partisanship and subjective opinions and political machinations, it would be our foreign intelligence operation. And yet that seems to be just the opposite of the way this administration has used and abused our foreign intelligence capabilities and operations. And we're paying a very heavy price for it.
And by crying wolf about the non-existent WMD in Iraq, have we not diminished our position in trying to put leverage on Iran to not develop its own nuclear weapon? And likewise, hasn't the adventure in Iraq given us a very hollow sound when we hear Bush and Rice lecture Putin on invading a sovereign nation and occupying it?
Well, not only is the actions of the United States in Iraq problematic in that area, but on a smaller scale, but no less important, certainly with regard to our loss of or lack of credibility in Georgia and Russia, it's our involvement with Kosovo and Serbia just a few years ago. So every time we engage in these sorts of operations, whether it is on a massive scale, such as the invasion and occupation of Iraq, or more limited but nonetheless very serious military operation favoring one side or another in the Balkans, it diminishes our credibility, it diminishes our ability to influence events peacefully elsewhere in the world.
And, Congressman, I want to turn to an area where I feel the Libertarian Party and some of the points that you've articulated in the last year or so converge with the Democratic left, the so-called progressives. I'm not afraid of the term liberal myself. But I really am struck by the convergence of views related to the Constitution. And your friend Bruce Fein has been on our program on many occasions over the last year, an articulate critic of the Bush administration in its power grabs and its unconstitutional behavior related to surveillance in the United States and the policies of torture, detention, and the trials at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere. And I just want to thank you because you and I don't agree on much in terms of domestic issues. And, for example, I'm very comfortable with same-sex marriage. You authored the Defense of Marriage Act. And I respect those differences. But it gives me a sense of hope for the future of our country that you and I, who may disagree on some essential matters, do not disagree about the primacy of the Constitution and the damage that has been done in the last 7.5 years.
It's been absolutely profound, the worst that not only that I've ever seen in my lifetime, but that I've ever read about. I have to tell you, though, I think we're not that far apart on the marriage issue. I have argued against and testified against the constitutional marriage amendment in both the House and the Senate a few years ago when that was up for consideration. And I am a very, very staunch proponent and defender of the right of each state to determine its own definition of marriage. And if the citizens of a particular state, whether it's California, Massachusetts, or if my home state of Georgia wishes to change its definition of marriage, that needs to be respected. The people of the different states ought to have the right and the power to render their own decision there without the federal government interfering. But you're absolutely correct. What's been done in recent years to undermine the basic principles on which our nation was founded, the rule of law, not of men, enumerated limited powers, checks and balances with the judiciary and the legislature being able to check the executive and vice versa. The damage that's been done to these fundamental time-honored principles is absolutely incalculable.
And you and Bruce Fein and others put together, I can't find the name of the committee, perhaps you can refresh my memory, but a 10-point plan, I believe it was, asking the candidates for president to sign on, and only Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich have so far. But it calls for an end to torture, an end to indefinite detentions, a return of habeas corpus, an end of the domestic spying and other eavesdropping programs, and reforms of the most extreme elements of the Patriot Act.
The American Freedom Agenda, and I was very honored to join with Bruce Fein last year in putting forth the American Freedom Agenda. We were joined by a number of others here again, you know, bringing sort of the right and left together, conservatives and liberals and independents together in support of fundamental constitutional principles. And these would form the bedrock of a Barr administration. A return to true constitutional law and constitutional understanding, respect for the Constitution. One of the first things I would do as president, for example, would be to propose to the Congress to undo the expansion of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that was just passed and signed by the president a number of weeks ago.
I just wish I could hear those words from Barack Obama, Mr. Barr.
Well, I was, to be honest with you, I was, you know, he's been in many respects a great defender of civil liberties and the right to privacy, but I was very disappointed and actually somewhat still confounded by his support ultimately for the expansion of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act powers of the government.
Yeah, particularly with the immunity clause that means we'll
right.
never understand the full depth and breadth of the illegal and warrantless wiretapping and other surveillance that has occurred. How do you think that we can pressure the Congress and the next administration to restore the full Fourth Amendment values, Congressman?
Well, of course, it would be very easy if the next president is Bob Barr, because that's the underpinning of my whole platform is restoring constitutional respect in constitutional law and principles in this country. But if that's not to be the case, it's very difficult. The only way we can do it is by continuing to fight those battles in the courts that the ACLU, for example, has championed, and the electronic Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Frontier, correct. Uh-huh.
And a number of others. It's important to fight these battles in the court. It's even more important for citizens to band together and to let their voice be heard, whether the citizens wish to do so through the ACLU, which I did consulting work for a number of years after leaving the Congress, or whether it's through, you know, on a more limited scale, even the NRA has helped out with some of these issues of privacy. But it's important for the citizens to once again rekindle their knowledge of constitutional principles and to absolutely demand them of our candidates. And I know it's disappointing when they backtrack on it, but hopefully, you know, through concerted civilian action, we can, you know, we can hold the line. We were successful a few years ago in at least preventing an expansion of the Patriot Act. We were not quite successful in holding the line against the reauthorization of the sunsetted provisions. We almost did, But were it not for the work of the ACLU and a number of other organizations from across the ideological spectrum, the USA Patriot Act would have been expanded greatly beyond what it even is now.
We're going to take a break and return with former Congressman, former Republican Bob Barr. He is the Libertarian candidate for president this year, and he's running on a platform of restoring the Constitution. Your calls and comments are welcome. During the next segment, dial in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. 11 minutes in front of the hour, this is the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
The Peter B. Collins Show. Tomorrow at this time, writer Ron Suskind will be with us. Right now, we're talking with Bob Barr, the Libertarian candidate for president this year.
Radio got some pirates out of life. Orbiting your living, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus or refusing of the life.
And Congressman Barr, I wanted to ask you about a recent development here, and this ties into the use of national security letters by the FBI, something that they have acknowledged they've widely abused. And now Justice Department Chief Michael Mukasey is proposing to loosen restrictions on the FBI, and it would allow them to open a national security or criminal investigation without any clear basis for suspicion. And to me, this is a creeping fascist police state development.
Thank you.
Oh, it's just awful. The only good news, and it's, you know, just a glimmer of hope here, but, you know, we need to grasp at anything these days. The glimmer of hope is that the Congress, I think, has convinced the administration to hold off at least temporarily, and hopefully that will give us a little bit of time for the Congress under the Democrat control to develop a little more backbone than they have shown thus far. They certainly should have stopped the expansion of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. They didn't, unfortunately, but they need to step in here because you're absolutely correct. If the FBI is allowed to open criminal investigations without any predicate of a suspicion of criminal activity, including terrorist activity, then these things can be initiated and a person's privacy invaded, evidence gathered against them, and they may never know what's going on ever,
right.
Or at least until it's too late to do anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, the insidious part of this is the gag rule part of it, where they could go to my bank, demand records, and say, by the way, if you tell Peter that we came here asking for his records, we're going to lock you up. This is really un-American and unconstitutional. And, Congressman, I believe that the Bush administration has been repeatedly emboldened by the weakness of the Democrats. And I take it back to Pelosi's statement of taking impeachment off the table. Now, you helped lead the charge for Clinton's impeachment back in 1998. And I think you supported, along with Bruce Fein, impeachment for Bush and Cheney. But I believe that the Democrats have opened themselves up for further and further aggressive tactics and power grabs by the Bush administration through their failure to stand firm and say, well, if the evidence indicates, we would impeach.
Well, I had the honor of testifying before John Conyers' Judiciary Committee about a month ago, and Bruce Fein was there also. The focus of the testimony that I was asked to deliver didn't deal directly with impeachment. It had to do with more general issues of separation of powers and executive branch abuses. But I made the statement on the record there that if it comes down to constitutional silence or a constitutional inquiry of impeachment, then I'd vote for the latter. But Congress needs to do something. I'm afraid they've just waited too long. These things take time. You need to gather your evidence. You need to have aggressive, repetitive hearings to get to the bottom of it. You need to hold the administration's feet to the fire. And while the Congress has done that in a couple of instances with regard to finding out what went on with Karl Rove and his involvement with the Department of Justice firings of U.S. attorneys, for example, and Harriet Myers, they have been very, very inconsistent and almost downright timid in a number of instances, yeah. And that is not the way to get to the bottom of any of this.
Yeah. And so, Congressman, as I look at this, I feel that without judicial review, without a constitutional amendment, that our Fourth Amendment rights have been severely rolled back, and that through the Military Commissions Act and other legislation, that American citizens are potentially subject to the kind of treatment that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is getting at Guantanamo Bay right now. And I just really feel that a great part of America and our Constitution is slipping away from us. And I want to know, since you know how things work on Capitol Hill, do you believe that some sort of a deal was struck? Because at the end of February, Pelosi and Reid were saying no to the FISA amendments. And over a course of time, they caved. They gave the president unrestricted funding for the continued occupation of Iraq. And then they gave him everything he wanted, if not more, on FISA. And I am scratching my head saying, what did they get in return?
It's very difficult to tell. It raises more questions, certainly, than have been answered by far. We sort of saw the same thing about two or three years ago. I forget exactly when it was, Peter, when we were getting close to the reauthorization of the sunsetted provisions in the Patriot Act. And we had, I think at the time, four Republican senators, I think Sununu, Larry Craig, Lisa Murkowski, and Hagel, maybe, I think, right, who were standing with us very strong against the administration, and absolutely, we actually stopped the reauthorization of those sunsetted provisions from coming up for vote in the Senate. This was right, I think, at the end of 2005,
mm-hmm,
going into 2006,
yeah,
and then, or maybe it was 2006 going to 2007, I forget which, but then at the last minute, mm-hmm, they all four of them caved.
Yeah, I got to stop here, Congressman. Thank you very much. What's your website?
BobBarr2008.com.
Bob, all right.
2008.com.
We'll talk again before November. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you, Peter.
Bob Barr, Libertarian candidate for president on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, it's Peter B., urging you to check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another T-shirt site, and it is, but look deeper. Read the stories represented in the T-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the T-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend, and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code Peter B in lowercase at mendingamerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's mendingamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
John McCain's housing crisis.
I think I'll let my staff get to you. I'm going to tell you.
Radiation approved for spinach and iceberg lettuce.
I know what it does to the body, so why would I want it in my food?
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The McCain campaign is on the defensive after the candidate made an embarrassing gaffe. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
It's become the issue du jour because in an interview with Politico.com, McCain was asked how many homes he and his wife own.
I'll let my staff get to you.
Barack Obama campaigning in Virginia brought that up. Also, McCain's recent remark that to be rich, you have to make $5 million. McCain said he was joking. A brand new Obama campaign ad.
When asked how many houses he owns, McCain lost track. He couldn't remember. Well, it's seven.
Ending with a photo of the White House as one house Americans can't afford to put McCain into.
John McCain.
Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
The McCain campaign has whipped out a new ad of its own saying Obama bought his million-dollar Chicago home with help from developer Tony Resco, who's since become a convicted felon. Obama is very close to announcing his running mate.
I've made the selection, and that's all you're going to get. All right.
That was at a stop in Emporia, Virginia. Obama amplified just a bit in an interview with CBS News correspondent Harry Smith.
I asked him if it was more of an intellectual decision or if it was a gut check. He said it was a combination of both. And then, of course, I asked him who it was, and he laughed, and he said, "You almost got me."
Now this.
We've been mattress shopping all day, and he bet me that I'd love the very next bed we tried.
Was I right?
You cheated. He took me to the Select Comfort Store to try his Sleep Number bed.
But was I right?
Come on. I adjusted my side to the sleep number that felt best. That's the whole idea.
And you?
Loved it.
See, I was right. I want to remember this. I'm not right very often.
He's right about that.
Join the over 5 million people who've discovered the personalized comfort of a Sleep Number bed. Just lie back and set your sleep number, anywhere from 0 to 100. Higher for a firmer feel, lower for softer support. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
I love my Sleep Number bed.
I knew you would.
I know you knew I would.
Right now, during our biggest sale of the year, every Sleep Number bed is on sale with instant cash savings or interest-free financing for 3 full years on approved credit. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for a Select Comfort store near you. Hurry, sale ends Labor Day.
The Food and Drug Administration has revived the debate over irradiated food. It's approved the technique to kill germs in two kinds of produce.
Would you feel better about eating spinach and lettuce knowing it was irradiated? Dr. Bob Brackett of the Grocery Manufacturers Association.
It would make the product even safer. It would eliminate any of the dangerous bacteria.
But food safety expert Doug Powell wonders,
will consumers buy it?
A sampling of New Yorkers found many have their doubts.
I wouldn't feel comfortable because I'm pregnant.
Never I would stop. Fine spinach.
I really don't think it's safe.
But it's not a new technology. It's been around for years. It's often used to keep ground beef E. coli free. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, New York.
These days it's the signature sound of Florida. Torrential wind-driven rain pelts a windshield in Volusia County. Tropical storm Faye came ashore this afternoon on the northeast Florida coast near Flagler Beach, and it's moving west at just a few miles an hour, expected to dump 10 inches of rain or more. President Bush has declared an emergency in Florida, making the state eligible for federal assistance. Hundreds of people have had to be rescued from flooded homes, and authorities say two women have drowned in the heavy surf. Russia has promised to withdraw its forces from much of Georgia by tomorrow, but today they continue to dig in. In a phone call, the White House says President Bush told Georgian President Saakashvili the United States is looking for Russian compliance with the ceasefire. The tension with Russia has put a scare in the oil market. The price jumped to nearly $6 today, settling above $121 a barrel. That's likely to halt the recent decline in gasoline prices. In a CBS News investigation, correspondent Armand Katayan found little assurance that drivers aren't being cheated at the pump.
With gas at about $4 a gallon, we started with a very simple premise. Are you getting what you pay for at the pump? And the answer is, you really don't know. And the reason is that inspection standards, essentially in this country, are all over the map.
Some states have more stringent requirements than others. There's no federal oversight. A threatening letter containing an unidentified white powder arrived today at a John McCain campaign office in Centennial, Colorado. No injuries reported. Local police, the FBI, and the Secret Service are investigating. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Guys, it's not every day a man can show his true colors, but you can on Friday, August 29th, College Colors Day 2008. That's right, with college football on the way, it's time to get to the men's store inside JCPenney. You'll find your college colors and get a great deal. This week, all authentic NCAA jerseys, tees, and fleece are on sale for 25 to 50% off. So don't miss your chance to show your true colors. College Colors Day, Friday, August 29th. And don't forget that the men's store is the smart place to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
Who's always there for you? Your mum? Maybe, yeah, but sometimes she's a bit chatty with you. Oi, when are you going to get a girlfriend business? Now, GEICO, they're always there for you. They have been for over 70 years. They insure over 8 million policyholders, and their customer satisfaction is at 97%. With GEICO service, no wonder it's the third largest automobile insurance company. Your mum might cook better, but everything else, it's a very close call.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Yes, the Peter B. Collins Show is available by the slice, a very attractive prize. You can share a podcast of any portion of this program with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and knees. Ain't no doubt about babies, you are in the bees. I bless her with a line and a grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but I don't care. That tough is tough.
Kim Wilson and those fabulous T-Birds playing us into our weekly visit with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans matters here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's with us this entire hour, and you can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I want to tip my hat and thank Scott because he sat in for me on the program on Wednesday. And I got to, explore the Napa Valley and do a little wine tasting with some out-of-town visitors. So, Scott, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Peter. It was truly a test of
I don't know, vocal stamina,
yeah,
concentration. I don't know. You do a three-hour show every day, and my hat's off to you.
Well, and you did my show plus your show, so you were doing 5 hours, and there's no overtime clause in your contract, is there?
No, there isn't.
Well, Scott, there's a lot to talk about. I wanted to start off with Afghanistan, because just before you joined us, Bob Barr, who's a fascinating guy to me. I mean, so many contradictions. He was part of the Gingrich crowd that came to Washington in 94, shut down the government. He was a real hardline Republican. But he's had a change of heart. He's running as a libertarian for president of the United States. And we had great areas of agreement about the Constitution, about the loss of our civil liberties under Bush with the complicity of the Democrats. And so it's striking to me how times can change and how those of us who are committed to the Constitution and a real sense of what America is and should be have much in common. But one of the things he touched on in response to a question from me is Afghanistan. And like me, he raised questions about kind of blindly putting more troops in there without defining a mission, and that we could wind up with our very effective military in an ineffective police action on the streets and rocks of Afghanistan after we apparently didn't learn that lesson in Iraq. And Barr referenced candidate George W. Bush in 2000, the guy who was at that time opposed to these kind of police and occupation and nation-building programs.
Well, the Pentagon is talking about moving an additional 15,000 troops to Afghanistan. And I suppose it is to create these fortresses that will be able to operate out of kind of an old-world method of creating a chain of fortresses. I mean, that's kind of what we have now, except our troops, they're undermanned, and they're not outfitted properly, and so they're really left out there as sitting ducks. And directly result of those nine young men being killed in one fight when they were attacked by the Taliban, mm-hmm. and a very well-executed attack, I might add.
You're right.
So just blindly adding, as you said, 15,000 troops may not do anything but just continue to inflame the sensitivities of the Afghanis there. And I don't know, without a mission, I'm looking for the strategy in Iraq, and now we've seen that it is to declare victory and get out because the Iraqis are asking us to get out, basically telling us to get out. But with Afghanistan, it's a whole different deal. Karzai, he can't control his own neighborhood, let alone the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm. And my biggest concern, you and I have talked about this before, is that Afghanistan is largely ungovernable and totally unoccupiable. And I don't even know if that's a word.
Well, it is. I don't know about the ungovernable part. Before the Russians moved in, they had a government, and they had a really, they were developing a second world infrastructure. If you look at photographs even today, you'll see that they had hotels and streetlights and freeways, and it was, they've been under constant warfare for the last, I don't know, what is it, 30 years now?
Yeah. Yeah,
and so to expect them to be suddenly ready to go, and of course the intellectuals, they left. Everybody that could get out got out. And so I don't know the point. Well, we went into Afghanistan to punish the people who harbored Osama bin Laden. We haven't caught him. And maybe this is a way for the Republican Party to continue to declare that we're at war and that we need to have, we need to spy on Americans because we're in a conflict in Afghanistan. Of course, it makes no sense to me and you, Peter, but to Republicans, it does.
Well, and Scott, for the purposes of a radio chat here, we have to kind of pick a point and say, okay, we're not going to go back into ancient history. But if we go back to the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan in the late 70s, early 80s, and the efforts that we used covertly to support what became Al-Qaeda, it was the Mujahideen, and Osama bin Laden was one of these recruits who came seeking glory and jihad, to try to push the Soviets out of Afghanistan, and they were ultimately successful. But certainly they received a lot of covert help from the United States. And then we kind of checked out and let Afghanistan drift. And ultimately in the 90s, the Taliban took over. And with the, the religious influence, the very theocratic and extreme religious positions of the Taliban, I think that some of that is very hard to rewrite. and that a foreign occupation will only strengthen the hand of these indigenous militias and other forces. And we've seen that recently. The forward base that you described, where 9 Americans died near the Afghan-Pakistan border, if I have that right, was a situation where the Taliban and a group of locals all got together and formed this assault force, largely because the U.S. had bombed another wedding party. We say accidentally, and I certainly hope that's the case. But, you know, it shows that as an occupying force and as a foreign power, regardless of the military might that we bring to bear, we cannot win the hearts and minds of Afghan people.
No, and it's a constant bleeding of troops and money from the United States. I don't know the mission there. Is it to just keep Karzai in power? Then we should just let Blackwater, they should just contract it out to Blackwater and let them handle it, because we're certainly not making any friends. And, Peter, I'm looking at a report right now that says that perhaps the French soldiers who were wounded in that big fight, they're saying that those French soldiers were killed by a NATO airstrike.
Really?
So not only do we hit targets that we don't intend that happen to be wedding parties, but we're hitting our own guys as well.
Well, and we have a situation where the president of France, who has been helpful in trying to broker a ceasefire in Georgia, he visited Afghanistan this week to pay tribute to 10 French soldiers who were killed in a Taliban ambush on Monday. And that was an attack where these French soldiers were killed, and Sarkozy had sent a total of 3,000 troops. They upped it by 700 earlier this year.
Now we have to correct that, Peter. We have to say that they were killed during a Taliban ambush and not by a Taliban ambush until they sort out whether it was actually a NATO airstrike. And the wounded soldiers are saying that they were killed by friendly fire.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so it doesn't get any better. It gives the Republicans some footing to say, but look, Taliban are in Afghanistan. Well, we thought they were the center of the war on terror was in Iraq. And they're going to morph this to be whatever it is they want it to be, whatever it is they need it to be, to continue to scare American voters into voting for these pro-war candidates like John McCain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is quite amazing as we see it play out. Scott Dick is with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about military and veterans matters. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Scott, today, Thursday, New York Times has an interview with General Petraeus. And it's interesting because he is due back in Washington in early September for what has now become an annual dog and pony show, where he is going to apparently reveal what his plans are for, trying to trend down in our troop commitment in Iraq. And probably some of those people may end up going directly to Afghanistan, given that we don't have a lot of forces in reserve. But some of the comments from Petraeus I think are interesting. He says that the gains are fragile in Iraq. And I think that he's really caught between the spin that Washington wants and that the Bush administration has been working so hard on, that things really are better in Iraq, mainly because fewer Americans have died in recent months. Yet the daily problems continue with suicide bombers, with lots of attacks. Now the Sunnis are the Shiites are very doubtful of the Sunni awakening groups. And so we really see that Iraq has not settled down in a meaningful way, yet the comments from McCain and others that the surge has worked and kind of daring Obama to agree to that continue. And so I think the next 30 days are going to really provide more confusion and not a whole lot of clarity.
Well, it's a big smoke screen, and the right now, the thing that brought peace and prosperity to Iraq, if you let me say that, are the Awakening Councils. There's no doubt in anybody's mind, except for the spinmeisters at the Fox Network and the Bush administration, their own cloak of delusion, that what settled Iraq down was inculcating and bringing in over 100,000 Sunnis into the security, call them reserves. We'd have to call them reserves because they're not really sworn officers. Now, they're supposed to be paid by both the Americans and the Iraqis, and the Americans are paying troops $300 a month, which is quite a lot of money. The Sunnis, Iraqis are refusing to pay them, and in fact, they're saying that they want them to disarm and disassemble. And the quote is from a Shia, who is a pretty senior general, we can't stand them, and they're certainly not going to be in the security forces. Hmm. So that bodes very ill for the United States if we ignore the Iraqis' request that we get out. Yeah. They want us to get out, and probably one of the reasons is they want to settle this score.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. You can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. My email, peter@peterbcollins.com. It's 18 minutes after the hour, and you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
There's a good reason why SC41 Furniture is using all-natural, chemical-free mattress components. A lot of us have asthma, allergies, or trouble breathing at night. We deserve a clean, pure sleeping environment to breathe more freely. And for the rest of us, we want a mattress that we know has no chemical residues or odors. Our natural latex and all our textile components are certified ecologically pure. That's the SC41 mattress. We're so convinced that all natural is the way to go that we're also carrying old world craftsman quality furniture that is extremely sturdy, beautiful, and eco-friendly. And we've developed a line of special oxygen pillows for deeper sleep through deeper breathing. At SC41 Furniture, we have a reason for the things we do. Well, actually, several reasons. And they all add up to a clean, healthier, and comfortable place to be. SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA and very quiet so far this afternoon. Just one crash to tell you about San Martin. Columbette Avenue at East Middle Avenue. A truck with an overturned trailer is partially blocking the roadway. CHP is on the scene. Heads up for Ben Lomond tonight. Highway 9 between El Soyo Heights Drive and Irwin Way. We have one-way traffic control to be in effect from 9 tonight till 5 tomorrow morning as they work on some culvert replacement out there. They say expect about a 15-minute delay because of that. Highway 17 currently checks in Stalin accident-free. Look for some heavy traffic once you get to the Fish Hook in Santa Cruz. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on tomorrow. I'll originate from Seattle in the studios of our affiliate, KPTK, AM 1090. Looking forward to buzzing into Seattle, and should be a lot of fun. We continue now with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you want to join us, lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Scott, one more item related to Iraq. We have been talking for weeks, if not months now, about a SOFA agreement, status of forces agreement, and this remains unresolved. But the teams are working on a timeline and the so-called time horizon that the Bush administration likes to call it, but they continue to include a situation on the ground kind of caveat. Gordon Jandro at the White House said the improved security in Iraq allows us to have conversations with the Iraqis about setting goals for more American troops to come home and for the Iraqis to take the lead in more combat missions. Any dates in an agreement will be based on conditions on the ground because we do not want to lose the hard-fought gains of the surge. Now, putting aside the spin in that statement, isn't he kind of ignoring the clear message that's coming from the Maliki government that, here's your hat, what's your hurry?
Yeah, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out is what they're saying.
Yeah.
And this is who's actually in control of the country? Well, you know, with the surplus this year of $76 billion, the Iraqis are. Well, we're seeing that they really are. This whole thing with the Awakening Council is a slap in the face. We have worked very hard. We have had guys die putting this stuff together. And, you know, they're going to renege on it. It's time to let the Iraqis choose their own fate and to get out. There's no other way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously spinning it. Just look at the phrase "time horizon." You know, it is ridiculous juvenile semantics that escapes no one except those in the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
And fragile. You're not going to be able to undo this hatred of the Sunni by the Shia overnight. No matter what they're doing, no matter what kind of platitudes we try to sell them. They're pumping their own oil. They're creating their own infrastructure. And in fact, Peter, they want to buy high-tech weapons from the United States, which I think is a huge, huge mistake.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because we have no idea at this point who will end up in control of the government in Baghdad. And if we sell advanced weapon systems to the Iraqis in a year or two, maybe even more, somebody like Muqtada al-Sadr may end up running the government in Baghdad, and we cannot rely on somebody like that to operate in interests that parallel the United States. And as you and I have discussed many times, by putting in power a Shia government with very strong links to Iran, we run the risk of some sort of alliance between Baghdad and Tehran in the future that really could present a major challenge to the U.S. and any allies we may have at that time.
Peter, there's no doubt in my little pea brain there will be a mutual security agreement between Iraq and Iran. They're just surrounded by Arab states that are Sunni and have no interest in a state of, two major countries. So they're going to be continually besieged by the Arabs, which is, good for Israel, actually. The weapon they want to sell them, which I think is the most ridiculous, it's one thing to sell the Iraqis up-armored Humvees and that kind of thing, but to sell them M1 Abrams A2 tanks is insane. This is the most technologically advanced tank on the planet. I mean, the Leo 2 from the Germans is almost, they're just as good. I think the Swedes have a tank that's just as good, but they're all equal. The only way you can take this tank out is with another tank. Mm-hmm. Maybe some, superior firepower like the Warthog, but on the ground, one tank by itself can wreak havoc on infantry battalions. And so the idea that we're going to sell them this sophisticated equipment with laser rangefinder and thermal imagery and a main gun that will punch out at 3 miles, and that round will go a mile a second, it's got a stabilized gun, it uses a computer to coordinate the ballistic curve and the laser rangefinder, and you can shoot on a move. It is so sophisticated. The fight was so one-sided in 1991 at the first Gulf War. It's laughable. And the idea they're going to sell them not one, not 10, not 40, but 140 That gives that country very capable armored punch that they don't have, and the Middle East doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
And how far along is this proposed sale, Scott?
Well, they're talking about so far that when they talk to the media about it, they sell them this bit of goods that they're going to say, well, we have retinal scans and fingerprints, and we're going to make sure the Iraqis track this equipment now, unlike the 80,000 small arms weapons that completely disappeared once we dropped them off.
And all the ammo too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's nonsensical when the Americans leave. Then they say, oh, we're going to have Americans with it. Well, that makes Americans dead city ducks. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
Scott Dick with us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The citizen heroes of the New York 911 ballot initiative need your help. They have raised 27,000 signatures to put the first truly independent 911 investigation with full subpoena power on the ballot in New York City this November. They still need 3,000 signatures by September 4 and need your help now to make history happen for all of us. Please donate as generously as you can as soon as you can by going to www.nyc911initiative.org. That's www.nyc911initiative.org.
I'm feeling more secure already. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Secretary of State Rice has signed a deal to put defensive missiles in Poland. Defensive missiles to protect us against nuclear missiles launched by rogue nations like Iran.
We'll be able to intercept any potential Iranian missiles that launch both towards the United States and any to our allies in Europe.
CBS military consultant Mike Lyons. And we will all sleep a little easier knowing that they're there.
The ink was barely dry on the agreement when Russia issued a thinly veiled warning it might actually attack Poland in retaliation.
What? Wait a second. These are defensive missiles to protect us from nuclear weapons from rogue states.
The threatening words echo a Russian statement that it might target the Polish base housing the American equipment and could even use nuclear weapons.
No. Wait a second. This is supposed to reduce the threat from nuclear weapons. The Russians have it all wrong. We are the good guys. What is the word for a nation that would criticize us when we're not doing anything wrong?
Rice immediately called the Russian statement bizarre.
Bizarre, exactly. So this talk from Russia, this is just talk. It's just posturing.
Russia is making a point the rest of the world apparently forgot. Don't mess with Russia.
Huh. That sounded like actual gunfire. Well, on the bright side, if it does come to that, at least the speech is already written.
We will not prematurely or unnecessarily risk the course of worldwide nuclear war. But neither will we shrink from that risk at any time it must be faced.
I feel more secure. How about you? Now this.
Imagine this. You walk into your apartment and, oh boy, you've been robbed. Yep, somebody definitely broke in there and made off with the goods, didn't they? Your flat screen TV, your laptop, and even your race car shaped bed's gone. Just a devastating loss. The good news is, if you call Geico, you could be protected for as little as $12 a month. Yeah, seriously, just $12. So first, call Geico, and second, maybe think about buying a grown-up bed, yeah?
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes after the hour. My man Nick Tanham's at the controls today, and we're under control. It's feeling good. You can dial us up toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
Nobody's perfect, not even a perfect stranger. Oh, what a gal, she was such a perfect stranger. And you're the best in your field.
We continue with Scott Dick here on Military and Veterans Matters. Again, my number is 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to chime in. 888-573-8372. And, Scott, it appears that John McCain agreed to reinstate the draft, and now his campaign says, I guess, that he doesn't speak for the campaign on a matter like that?
Well, you know, that's interesting because he doesn't. When he talks about the economy, he doesn't speak for the campaign. When he talks about taxes, he doesn't speak for the campaign. Now when he's talking about reinstating the draft, he's not talking for the campaign.
Well, he doesn't even know how many houses he and Cindy have, and he told people to ask somebody on the campaign.
he'd have a staffer check into it.
Right.
You know, there's actually people out there in the media saying that's not a big deal because nobody equates John McCain with rich. And I'm like, excuse me? Anybody who owns a private jet, Peter, seems to be, you know, you can't afford, even if you made $250,000 a year, you couldn't afford owning your own private jet.
Right. Yeah. And
you know, if you ask John McCain what's rich, he says $5 million.
Well, Cindy, his wife, is reported to be worth $100 million, and she's fending off criticism this week that she declared herself an only child, and then her stepsister raised her hand and said, Cindy, remember me?
Yeah, but see, Peter, come on now. You know, halves don't count.
Oh, yeah?
It's only half-sister.
Okay. So, at a town hall meeting on Wednesday, an audience member asked a long-winded question that ended with a call to enact the military draft in order to chase bin Laden to the gates of hell, which is a line that McCain uses on a regular basis. And he even said hell in the Saddleback Church last Saturday night when he used that line again.
Well, they talk about hell a lot in church, so that's okay.
So McCain replied, I don't disagree with anything you said. And then reporters started asking the campaign and the candidate, does McCain favor a draft? No, was the answer coming back. And when asked about the quote last night on Countdown with Keith Olbermann, NBC's political director Chuck Todd declared he was going to give McCain the benefit of the doubt. And here's a quote from Chuck Todd. Let me just go there and give McCain the benefit of the doubt as to what he might have thought he was agreeing to, which is that he's been a big advocate on the national service front, as has Obama, as sort of a mandatory service in some form. You see that a lot of politicians take. So it's possible that that's what he was talking about. Now, why are they making excuses for McCain when, you know, the soundbite appears to be relatively clear?
That is an excellent question. If he's a supposed journalist, he needs to turn in his journalist credentials and get one of his Fox Network commentator credentials, because that has nothing to do with the interaction between the woman who asked the question, who's a veteran herself, and what she was asking was, why here in our office do we have 700 veterans claims still pending, some as old as 10 years? Why are we underfunded? Why are our troops not taken care of? And you know, where are we going to? We're going to have to start a draft again to replace these guys? Is that what it's going to take? And so his answer was, yeah, I don't disagree with anything you say.
Yeah.
That tells me one of two things, Peter. This was just a cynical way to get her off the podium and get her away from and just, you know, agree and move on, or he wasn't listening to the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so a listener would have said, wait, hold it. The first part, I agree. We're not taking care of our veterans. You know, we're not doing them right. We need to put more money into the system, even though I voted against three of the four bills that would increase veteran funding and construction for new medical facilities. Even though I voted against them and I get a D rating from the DAV, everything you said is right, except for the last part. No, I don't believe in a new draft. Even about draw fire. I mean, how difficult is it for a listener who's supposed to be having a town hall communicating directly with his people to actually listen and then respond instead of, I do my speak, but I go into wait mode. There's blah, blah, noise around me, blah, yada, yada, like peanuts, yada, 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 yada. And then I start talking again back on the stump mode.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting. And again, the media is part of John McCain's base. And time again, they let him off the hook. They will make a one-day story out of something that on Obama's side would go on for a week. And it's having an impact, Scott. We're seeing that the polls have tightened in at least one national poll, a Zogby poll. McCain is slightly ahead. And in many respects, I'm kind of gratified by that, because I think that if the Democrats had gone into the Denver convention next week with a very clear polling lead, I think people would be more complacent.
Yeah, they'd be more gloaty, too.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't get these media folks, because the very things that the Democratic Party stands for enriches them and their lives as journalists. Wasn't it Gannett that just announced 1,000 more cutbacks in their newspapers?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So you have these people who have a vested interest in somebody that would talk about, at least talk about, and investigate reduction in corporate ownership of media in multiple markets in the same market, and the cost-cutting and turning. You would think that they would have an interest at least in reporting the facts. Did they think that if they continue to kiss McCain's ass, that somehow they're going to be immune from their corporate master saying, oh, by the way, you did great on the election, but we got to let you go because, you know, we're doing corporate downsizing.
Mm.
What is the matter with these people?
Yeah, yeah. It is really hard to take, especially after the media was so complacent and complicit.
And you got this guy named Robert Reed, who I'm calling out. He works for the AP, and he writes nonsense. I commented on this before when he wrote, when Bush rushed troops to Iraq as part of the surge. Well, you and I both know there was no rushing at all. They held troops over, and then they accelerated the deployment of troops after that at about one brigade a month. That's hardly a rush.
Right. In fact, they told us how the surge wouldn't be into full effect until June of 2007. But they make it seem like the day after it was announced in January that it went into full effect, and the magic cleansing power went right to work.
Right. And so this guy writes to the AP that used to have credibility with me, and the other day he just said, and it was the result of the surge that pulled Iraq back from the brink of civil war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not journalistic crap. They were not on the brink of it. They were fully engaged in a civil war. And I don't care what how Petraeus tries to spin it, how the Fox Network tries to spin it, or the White House. It was a civil war.
Mm-hmm. Karen joins us from Sacramento. Welcome, Karen, to the Peter B. Show with Scott Dick.
Hi. As you know, I listen while I work, so I all of a sudden hear these really scary things. And a couple times now I've heard something about Russia having made a statement and nuclear power. And I think Tom Hartman was talking about it yesterday. It's called the noose theory.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything more about this that you can explain to me?
I haven't had a chance to listen to Tom the last couple of days, so I haven't heard his reference to that. Scott, does this ring a bell with you?
Yeah, I think they're alluding to the fact that the Russians feel like we are building this group of nations to surround and isolate Russia and, in fact, making a noose. And we slowly tighten the noose, and it chokes off their strength, it chokes off the economy, it chokes off, et cetera. And Rice, Secretary Rice, who, by the way, has a PhD in Soviet Union, which is meaningless, I just say that as a joke,
mm-hmm.
Said today that, no, really, Russia, these anti-ballistic missiles, what we want to install in the Czech and have, or in the Poland and have the radar in the Czech, those are really for North Korean and Iranian nuclear weapons. And does she even pre-screen what they write for her? I mean, it's ludicrous. It's nonsense. It's crazy Martian speak for them to say that they're putting in interceptor missiles in Poland or the Czech Republic, either way, to intercept North Korean nuclear weapons.
But, Scott, the whole Star Wars missile defense boondoggle requires total suspension of disbelief. And they figure everybody is in that mode. You know?
So it's a movie. It's a movie. $150 billion a year, some whatever they're flushing down the toilet, that is the intercept system. And then to say Iran, it's ludicrous at so many different levels. The only people buying it are people who are just totally uninformed. It's aimed directly at the Russians. It's something we always wanted to do, and it was only because we took our missiles, our nuclear weapons, out of Turkey, and they to move them out of someplace else, that we started this whole, we started the whole process of stopping this. And it wasn't until Bush came in and just abrogated overnight, within weeks of him being elected, the anti-ballistic missile treaty, and he did it by himself. He personally cut it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary, sick, strange, Republican Martian speak. And Condoleezza Rice comes out and says, it's to guard against North Korean missiles.
Well, the other thing that I think is worth talking about just one more time is the way John Stewart served up these comments from Rice and from Bush that the Russian incursion into Georgia, and I don't defend the Russians here. I do think they were provoked, but they've been very heavy-handed. They haven't honored their agreements to leave, and in fact, they're busy destroying what there was of Georgia's military infrastructure. But what we see is this again, departure from reality, as they say, this is not 1968. You cannot roll tanks into a sovereign nation and occupy it. And they seem to be completely unconscious of how the world views the United States in our invasion of a sovereign nation called Iraq and our continuing occupation there.
The only people I think that are taking these kind of nonsensical remarks seriously are the people that are sitting in their desk next to the people who are saying these words. Everybody else gets it. They get the irony. They get the stupidity. They get the incredible hubris. We can invade sovereign nations that have done us no harm, but you can't. And the problem is, if you're going to make those kind of declarative statements and have a foreign policy, that should be the Bush doctrine. We can attack sovereign nations who did us no harm, and you can't. Then you need to have a big, big stick. And we don't have one.
No.
A stick's not big enough. So the Russians, they could do whatever they want to do.
Well, and even if we had the troops, metaphorical big stick, Scott, we don't want to take on the Russians and open, a third or potentially fourth front in our current military operations. We simply cannot afford to do it. And I hear people referencing Chamberlain in 1938 and that, if we allow Russia to control Georgia, that Ukraine will be next and the dominoes will fall. And that may be the case, but at this point in time, we are in no position either to do it ourselves or even to organize a meaningful coalition around NATO to challenge the Russians. We simply can't, and they know it.
Well, this never would have happened if we weren't in Iraq. We would have probably held Saakashvili by the hair and said, you can do what? Do you have permission to do that? And not allowed him to do it. Or just said, go ahead and do it, but, you lose our support. You're done. We're done with you if you do that.
Yeah, we should have said, Saakashvili, take a look at New Orleans. You're on your own, dude.
Well, look at our history in Hungary, in the Czech Republic, in the Czechoslovakia, and in Hungary in '56. I mean, we stood by and let the Russian. We yelled a lot, but even Eisenhower, with our glorious military back then, was not about to face World War III. I remember when in Bosnia, the Russians landed the planes there, paratroopers, and blocked the airport for a couple of days, and we're all champing at the bit. To get in there, and somebody said, I'm not going to start World War III over Bosnia.
Mm-hmm. Scott Dix with us. We'll return in a moment, talk a little bit about Pakistan, and also there's new information about McCain's claim that he called for Rumsfeld's firing and was highly critical of Don Rumsfeld when he was Secretary of Defense. We'll pick up there after a break. And you can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA, and very quiet so far this afternoon. Just one crash to tell you about: San Martin, Columbet Avenue at East Middle Avenue. A truck with an overturned trailer is partially blocking the roadway. CHP is on the scene. Heads up for Ben Lomond tonight. Highway 9 between El Soyo Heights Drive and Irwin Way. We have one-way traffic control to be in effect from 9 tonight till 5 tomorrow morning as they work on some culvert replacement out there. They say expect about a 15-minute delay because of that. Highway 17 currently checks in, stall and accident-free. Look for some heavy traffic once you get to the Fish Hook in Santa Cruz. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Bush would come up with these plans and pitch them to us and then and come up with the names that, like, would make them sound okay, you know, like the Healthy Forest. That was my favorite one, you know. And all you had to do is, like, read one article on the Healthy Forest and it accelerated logging, like, 6,000%. And if you don't know how the Healthy Forest works, essentially the idea was that, you know, lots of fires were starting in forests in the summers and whatnot, so they thought that they would get a step ahead of that by removing the trees from the forests ahead of time. So he called that the Healthy Forest Act. And you read it, and you're like, what the? And you think, maybe he can't be lying this much. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe, but let me listen again. Healthy Forest. The Healthy Forest Act. That's the problem. Maybe we didn't hear it right. Play it again. Healthy Forest. Slow it down. The to hell with the forest plan.
That's Johnny Steele.
From planetcruise.org.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. Scott Dick is with me, our contributor on military and veterans matters. Lines open if you want to chat with us. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, Scott, just in the past week, it's amazing, the elected legislature in Pakistan was moving to impeach Pervez Musharraf, and he resigned before he had to face that music. And it makes me jealous because I just wish somebody had tried that with Bush. But the change of the guard is underway there. Violence has started to spike up in Pakistan. And this is a real challenge for the U.S. because people can be excited that Musharraf is gone, but it doesn't fix the fundamentalist issues. It doesn't fix the fact that it is a nuclear nation and that the generals have been in control there for decades. They allow civilian governments to come and go, but they are truly in charge. And those generals are aligned with the most extremist Islamic groups that run the madrasas, the schools that indoctrinate people. And also it's believed that those military folks have pulled their punches and not really attempted to crack down on Taliban and Al-Qaeda elements in the Waziristan rural provinces.
It really is a nation of two societies. The military society, as we've talked about before, Peter, they own practically everything. Don't they even own one of the nation's airlines? I mean, they're very powerful.
Yeah.
They make a tremendous amount of money on their situation as being the military. And then you have this democratically elected government where we have lawyers in their suits and ties rioting because of the violations of the Constitution. And so I don't know what's going to happen in Pakistan. I think that as long as the intelligence services from the military are supporting and aiding the Taliban, they're funding the madrasas, they're funneling weapons and probably I don't really have any doubts that they're not supporting them with professional military training as well.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, villagers, not to put the Afghanis down, but agricultural villagers don't normally have the wherewithal to put together a coordinated 400-man attack that results in the death of 9 U.S. soldiers who are combat vets getting ready. You know, they've been in the country 11 months. So they're getting assistance from the Pakistanis. The money that we are sending them went where? We don't know. And Osama bin Laden is operating freely. We know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So it's if I was the United States, I would be most concerned about Pakistan and less concerned about Iraq, because Iraq is nothing in the war on terror.
Well, and we have to look very carefully at Pakistan's their equivalent of the CIA is the ISI, Inter Services Agency.
Right.
And it is believed, I've heard credible allegations, that they were involved or directly responsible for an attempt to assassinate our Afghan puppet Hamid Karzai back in April. And that's just one example of the murky operations in Pakistan. And the U.S. has believed that Pakistan was an ally, and the $11 billion we gave to Musharraf was buying loyalty as well as responsiveness to American needs. But we've seen that they've never coughed up AQ Khan, never allowed the United States to really expose the nuclear proliferation network that he was on top of. And so I have a lot of concerns that we really aren't dialed into Pakistan, but the Bush administration thinks that we've got a handle on it.
Yeah, they also think that they can conduct something called the War on Terror, and that a tactical reinforcement of troops is actually a change in strategy. They're delusional, and they've been delusional for a couple of years now. They create their own reality, Peter, and they think they have a handle. I don't know what handle they think they have in hand, if you excuse a circular reference.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pakistani intelligence services and the aid to the Taliban, as far as I'm concerned, I never saw any kind of retreat from that. They made the tribal agreements. They run the Pakistani troops out into this no man land. I think they stand around and tell jokes and smoke cigarettes and build campfires, and then they go back into Pakistan.
I would just add, I think they have really strong coffee while they're doing it.
Probably so.
Scott, time for one more. Think Progress is reporting that McCain has repeatedly been talking about how he challenged Rumsfeld and called for his resignation. But the record doesn't really offer much support for that. And here's now some commentary attributed to Don Rumsfeld himself. An August 2003 meeting with Rumsfeld, McCain made a very passionate case that we need to look at adding more troops. And then McCain reportedly told Rumsfeld, the answer may not be more troops in Iraq. That's a note that he sent right after the meeting. So here's a commentary. An aide to the secretary said McCain's account is incorrect. In November 03, Rumsfeld and McCain had one of a number of conversations that ended with the two in agreement on the need to win in Iraq. McCain may prefer to characterize their meeting as a showdown at the OK Corral, but that's not straight talk. It's a fairy tale.
Yeah, but McCain is running on, I don't remember, and I don't know, and the fuzzing it up, and outright plain, not only obfuscating, but Peter, he's told, we've caught him in several lies. And so, you know, when in doubt, I think he's defaulting to the position of, when in doubt, lie. And this is one of those cases. People believe it because they're not used to John McCain standing up in front of them and saying, oh, you know, I have never supported privatization of Social Security. And then we go back and we find a clip where he says, you know, I think privatization is the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, he's all over the map on that.
I got the highest rating from every veterans organization in the United States. That's an outright lie.
Yeah,
and we go back and we show him, no, you don't. You've got a D. You got the lowest in the Senate. So this is another case. How many homes do you own? I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's a crock.
Yeah, I know how many I've got.
You do.
I can count it on one finger here. Scott, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. And thanks again for sitting in yesterday. I enjoyed the day off.
Thanks for having me, Peter. I appreciate it.
All right. That's Scott Dick, and I'm Peter B. Coming up next, we head into the free speech zone. Tim Carpenter from Progressive Democrats of America will join us to preview next week's Democratic convention. Hi, it's Peter B., urging you to check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another T-shirt site, and it is, but look deeper. Read the stories represented in the T-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the T-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend, and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code PETERB in lowercase at mendingamerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Barack Obama was quick to pounce today after John McCain fumbled. In an interview, the Republican couldn't remember the number of homes he owns. He guessed at 4.
And by the way, the answer is John McCain has 7 homes.
The Obama campaign in a new ad portrays McCain as out of touch with ordinary Americans. The McCain campaign quickly fired back with a new ad of its own.
Barack Obama knows a lot about housing problems. One of his biggest fundraisers helped him buy his million-dollar mansion.
That fundraiser is Tony Rezko, the Chicago businessman recently convicted on unrelated corruption charges. Obama says he selected his running mate, but refuses to say anything further until it's announced in a text message to his supporters. In an interview today, Obama said he wanted someone who's prepared to be president and able to challenge his preconceived notions so there's a robust debate in the White House. At a McCain campaign office in Centennial, Colorado, Rick Salinger of CBS television station KCNC reports a threatening letter with an unidentified white powder arrived today.
911 was called, and fire departments, along with the FBI and U.S. Postal Inspectors, have arrived on the scene. They have put on protective suits and are trying to determine exactly what the substance is.
A McCain office in Manchester, New Hampshire, reports a suspicious letter with a Denver postmark. Starting tomorrow, the Food and Drug Administration will allow irradiation to kill germs on iceberg lettuce and spinach. Proponents say it's one more level of assurance that food is safe, but Caroline Smith DeWall of the Center for Science and the Public Interest says it's not a panacea.
Irradiation addresses contamination at the end of the line, and it's actually quite expensive. it won't address many of the problems we've seen with imported produce.
Irradiation has been used on ground beef for years. Measles, almost eradicated in this country, is making a comeback. Federal health officials say there have been 131 cases so far this year, the highest level in a decade. Dr. Jane Seward at the Centers for Disease Control is tracking the infections.
So there's been a number of outbreaks, seven in all, around the country, mainly affecting unvaccinated people, and the majority of them are people who have chosen not to be vaccinated.
Or whose parents have chosen for them. Measles is a highly infectious virus that causes a red rash and fever, but can be fatal. The price of crude oil is shooting up again. It rose more than $5 today, settling above $121 a barrel. Analyst Peter Butel.
We did see the U.S. dollar drop today. We've seen a lot of petropolitical concern with Georgia and Russia and the pipelines that do run through Georgia. And in addition to that, we have refineries running at extremely low rates right now.
The Dow gained 12 points today, the Nasdaq down 8. This is CBS News.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity here. So you know what that means. It's Honda clearance time. And if you're into trucks, you are going to love this. Because it's your opportunity to get behind the wheel of a new Ridgeline, the versatile Element, or the classy CR-V for a deal that just might make your head spin. Look, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. Your wallet can thank me later, if you get my meaning. Don't you just love it when I'm around? The 2008 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking. Clearance ends September 2nd.
Now you can share your color inspiration at colorofinspiration.com, the new online community from Sherwin-Williams, where you can post photos, chat about what inspires you, maybe even inspire someone else. Once you've found your colorful inspiration, save up to 20% on a wide variety of our exceptional paints for incredible inspiration and great savings. For a store near you, visit sherwinwilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Gold medal gymnast Nastia Lukin had a jubilant homecoming today as she returned to Texas from the Olympics in Beijing. KRLD Radio's Chuck Schechner was in the crowd at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport.
Nastia Lukin just now entering the terminal. More than 200 people have gathered here to cheer her on, welcome her home from her Olympic win. She smiles broadly as the crowd waves, children waving little American flags, carrying posters that say, "We love you. Welcome home."
You know, it's been a really long journey, and to have you guys all here at the end and a successful one, I couldn't thank you guys enough for all of your support. And just everybody here in Dallas, you guys have been amazing, so thank you very much.
Chuck Schechner, CBS News, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport.
Lukin won gold in the all-around plus 3 silver medals and a bronze. Your next candy purchase might leave a sour taste in your mouth. Mars, the maker of M&Ms and Snickers, is raising prices for the second time this year. Hershey's doing the same. Both cite higher costs. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
We'd been mattress shopping all day, and he bet me that I'd love the very next bed we tried.
Was I right?
You cheated. He took me to the Select Comfort Store to try a Sleep Number bed.
But was I right?
Come on. I adjusted my side to the sleep number that felt best. That's the whole idea.
And you?
Loved it.
See, I was right. I want to remember this. I'm not right very often.
He's right about that.
Join the over 5 million people who've discovered the personalized comfort of a Sleep Number bed. Just lie back and set your sleep number anywhere from 0 to 100. Higher for a firmer feel, lower for softer support. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
I love my Sleep Number bed.
I knew you would.
I know you knew I would.
Right now, during our biggest sale of the year, every Sleep Number bed is on sale with instant cash savings or interest-free financing for 3 full years on approved credit. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for a Select Comfort store near you. Hurry, sale ends Labor Day.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow, I'll be parachuting into Seattle, Washington. I've been invited to speak to the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, the guys who've kept my transmitters on for years. And we'll be originating live from KPTK, Seattle's Progressive Talk AM 1090. Looking forward to it. And all next week, we'll be live from the Democratic National Convention in Denver, Colorado. We'll be live from Radio Row every weekday, Monday through Thursday, in our regular time period here, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific. You can catch the podcast right after the show. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. And exclusively during our convention coverage, our great affiliate in San Francisco, Green 960, is going to offer a live stream. Now, this will be the B-channel stream if you go to green960.com, because their other programs will be on the air at that time. But by connecting up on the website, you can hear our program live on your computer wherever you happen to be. And that, again, is green960.com. And do spread the word. See if you can let your friends know about that. Get as many people to log in as possible, because it is kind of a trial routine. And if it's successful, the folks at Green 960 might agree to put the PBC show up live on the stream every day, not just during the convention coverage. So be sure to check that out. Again, I want to thank all the people, listeners to this program, who have stepped up and contributed to underwrite the cost of our expenses of broadcasting and traveling to Denver, and every one of you will be acknowledged during the live broadcast from Denver next week. I thank you, and if you would like to help out, feel free. I appreciate everybody who stepped forward. Just go to my website, peterbcollins.com, and right at the top of the homepage is a link marked You Can Help, and it explains how you can help. And there's a PayPal link there if you want to make a contribution that way. And I've noticed a lot of our listeners on AM radio don't have easy internet access, and I understand that. So for you, you can drop a check in the mail to Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's P.O. Box 100, and the zip code in Mill Valley is 94942. One of the people I'm looking forward to connecting with in Denver is one of the most tireless grassroots progressive organizers in the country, Tim Carpenter from Progressive Democrats of America, on the web at pdamerica.org. Tim, how are you today?
Good evening, Peter. Thanks for the opportunity. Well, I'm heading to the airport. I guess I'll be seeing you once you get out of Seattle, and looking forward to our week together out in Denver.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'll be rolling into town on Sunday, and I see on the website that one of the events you're hosting is a panel with John Conyers and our friend John Nichols on Sunday at your location there in Denver.
Yeah, we're going to be every day, and we hope anybody in the greater Denver area can be with us. And as you said, hopefully up on the web, if you can't be there, but beginning at 6 o'clock, we're going to be working with The Nation magazine to honor Congressman Conyers for his 40 years of service in Congress and talk about his role in the civil rights movement, to talk about the link from Dr. King and Rosa Parks all the way up to Representative Conyers. And I guess that's almost enough to go home, but it's actually just the beginning. And then later that night we have our ceremonial kickoff beginning at 8:30.
Uh-huh. And you're doing panels on election issues, on health care reform, many other of the matters that progressives care a lot about. And let me take a couple of minutes here, Tim, to drill in on health reform, because this was front and center during the primary debates between Obama and Clinton, and it got real wonky, mandate, no mandate. But the discussion of health care issues has been really pushed to not just a back burner, but almost all the way off the range in recent weeks.
No, absolutely, Peter. We, within PDA, within Progressive Democrats of America, very early on, really were there to support Congressman Conyers in his efforts. He was the first member of Congress that was with us when we launched in Roxbury 4 years ago. We've been working very hard on H.R. 676, which is the single-payer solution. Until we get there, we've got a lot of work to do. And just in the last month, as you said, we've had some real traction. We began during the unfortunate five-year anniversary of the occupation of Iraq to begin to really connect the dots, to talk about not only the spiritual and the cost and human lives of what the occupation is, but in real dollars, and to talk about what it means here in America with the $20 million we'll just spend this hour alone in Iraq, and connect it to the unspent human needs here at home, to talk not just about getting our troops out of Iraq, just not ending the occupation, but really redirecting military spending. And until we do that, we're not going to really bring about universal health care for all. And we fought very hard within PDA to get the language guaranteed health care for all, for every man, woman, and child inside the Democratic platform. So when the delegates vote on this coming Tuesday, the Democratic Party will no longer be talking just about coverage, but health care delivery, real delivery, and we're very excited about that.
And, Tim, talk a little bit about the platform and the extent to which you believe progressives have been able to have an impact and shape the platform in a more progressive manner.
Well, the platform is really the vehicle for those of us working at the grassroots to let the party leadership, the inside the Beltway Party, know that they're out of step with the rank and file. We were formed 4 years ago to organize precinct by precinct, congressional district by congressional district. We've been running to go to state conventions. We've been voting and working to go to counties. And now ultimately to the national, to really make it clear that those of us that are working in the trenches want to bring about this work. And it's way off the radar. Platform work has historically been something that just isn't really talked about. But it's been very integral to the building of PDA. When we began, we went state by state to put state parties on record opposing not just the occupation, but as we said, to redirect military spending in support of single-payer health care, in support of impeachment. Over a dozen states have gone on record through their state parties in support of these issues, and we've leveraged that now to bring it to the national level. So this is a great organizing tool for all of us, and we really need to let our friends and neighbors know that we've accomplished a great deal. We certainly have a long ways to go, but at the same time, we're moving the party through the platform process.
Tim Carpenter with us from Progressive Democrats for America. Their website, pdamerica.org. That's PD for Progressive Democrats, pdamerica.org. Lots of information there about what's going to be happening in Denver from the progressive viewpoint. And I'm going to be spending some time at their headquarters, and also some of our friends like Tim and Mimi and Norman Solomon and Tom Hayden, all who are gathering there in Denver around the progressive banners. We'll be speaking to them and getting their viewpoints on the air as much as we possibly can. Tim, as we're speaking, and I just want to point out that some listeners will hear this program on Saturday or maybe on a podcast well after the fact, but the latest is that Barack Obama has made his decision about his vice presidential pick, but he's not yet revealing it. And sometime between now and Saturday, the text messages will fly. There was a false alarm last night. One of my buddies got a text message that it was Hillary, and put me into...
You're hearing the same rumors we're hearing.
It put me into a bit of a tailspin. But the practical matter is that we can't do much about it. Whoever Obama picks, the convention will most likely ratify. But do you have any concerns, particularly about Evan Bayh, if he is named as Obama's running mate? I think that he is so centrist, so DLC, so pro-war, that it could cause real problems in the progressive wing of the Democratic Party.
No, I think we're already there, Peter. I was with you a couple weeks ago, and we talked about this. I mean, I think it's very important for the listeners to understand that we have no illusions about Barack Obama. He's definitely a work in progress, and we have a lot of work to do. Of course, we'd be extremely disappointed if it turns out to be Evan Bayh. We'd be extremely disappointed if it ends up being Hillary Clinton. But the reality is, John McCain and whoever it is, we've got to get organized to fight inside the party. And the real fight for us and the real struggle is to make sure that while Barack Obama is running in November, that we support him, but that we as progressives are really focused on those congressional races. That's what PDA is about. That's why we fought hard to make sure Donna Edwards won this election cycle out in CD4 in Maryland. Again, under the radar, just like a platform fight, what's happening across this country. As early as this Tuesday, not all the primaries are over. Out in Florida, we're going to be working with Sam Simpson to get her the nomination so she can move on, hopefully, and get out to D.C. and win in November. Clint Curtis, who I know is a good friend of yours,
yeah,
blew the whistle on Ohio. Got to make sure he gets elected. So our work is to keep Barack Obama honest. We have no illusions that he's a progressive by any means, but what we have hope in is the Barack Obama movement. Just as FDR was moved in his second and third and finally his fourth administration, just as Bobby Kennedy was moving his brother when an assassin's bullet cut short Jack Kennedy's life, the progressive movement was moving in regards to civil rights, the anti-war movement. We have to do the same. We have to have an inside-outside strategy. We need to elect good people, and we need that street heat. We've got to keep Barack honest.
I agree with you on the street heat in particular. And, Tim Carpenter, one of the things, while I'm a little troubled to see the polls tightening at this point, I think it's actually in some ways a good thing that the convention will occur at a point when the polls show this to be a neck-and-neck race, because it'll produce hopefully two outcomes. One, that all people, Democrats and those who are independents who support a Democrat as the clear alternative to McCain, that it will energize us and make sure that people don't feel that we can just kind of skateboard to November. And secondly, I think that it will limit the ability of the conservative and centrist Democrats to wedge in the progressives and take us for granted and say, well, you know, we don't need to worry about health care. We don't need to talk more about the war in Iraq and bringing the troops home because, you know, we're focused on a different set of voters that we're trying to get. With tight numbers in the polls, every vote matters, and progressives are a critical component of a Democratic victory.
No, absolutely, Peter. I mean, you really nailed it. That's why today Progressive Democrats of America is proud to be coalitioning and kind of building an alliance now with Move On and True Majority, United for Peace and Justice, because we know we've got to knock on every door and drag out every vote. That's why on September 20th, there's going to be a million doors knocked on that particular day to really get back to the issues. We've got to get away from the beauty contest. We've got to get away from the sound bites and remind both of these candidates that we want to end this occupation. So as a progressive movement, as you said, as these polls tighten, we've got to remind everybody that every vote matters. We've got to get every vote counted. We have to make sure that no candidate concedes until we're sure that all the ballots have been counted fairly and correctly. And we've got to get out there, as you said, as these polls tighten, nothing is taken for granted, and we've got a lot of work to do. So with 71 days to go, that's why we organized Progressive Central and the DNC. In the shadow of when the delegates will be meeting inside the Pepsi Center, we're going to have deep, meaningful conversations about what it means to make sure we not only win in November, but that we challenge President Barack Obama on the question of single-payer health care, and that we're organized to do that.
Tim Carpenter with us. He'll stay with us for another segment. I'd like you to dial in and tell us what progressive issues are very important to you that you want to see discussed and prominently pushed for in Denver next week. So call me right now, 888-5-PETER-B. And tell me what your progressive issues are. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540. What you know when
I've come to work. Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Just a couple of things out there. An older accident, Monterey North on Highway 1 after Munris Avenue. Two cars center divide. You have CHP and tow trucks now on the scene, but look for heavy traffic as you approach the area. Also, North 101 before San Martin Avenue. Excuse me, southbound before San Martin in San Martin. We have a motorcycle crash. The car has been moved off to the shoulder with minor injury. CHP's on the scene. Some heavy traffic as you go past the area. 17 Santa Cruz Mountains currently checks in Stalin. Accident free in both directions. 101 making your way through Salinas. We have no problems right now. And this is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone. Lines are open for you at 888-PETER-B. We're talking with Tim Carpenter from Progressive Democrats of America. I'm Peter B. with Tim Carpenter from Progressive Democrats of America. We'll be all gathering in Denver next week for the Democratic National Convention, and PDA has a lot of plans there. Log on to pdamerica.org, and you can keep abreast of it all, even if you don't show up in Denver. And Joe in Brookings, Oregon, wants to comment. Joe, welcome to the PBC show today.
Yeah, well, the only thing more asinine and mind-numbing than this endless speculation about vice presidential candidates are the political conventions themselves. I was wondering what the positions of the Progressive Democrats of America was concerning the taxpayers having to fund the bill for these stupid conventions that are funded from beginning to end. I believe that the Libertarian, the Green Party conventions that are not funded by the taxpayers, but I believe the taxpayers do have to fund the conventions for the Democrats and the Republicans, and I was wondering what their stance was.
All right, Tim, what's your comment?
Well, in 1988, I had the opportunity to be with Reverend Jackson in Atlanta and watching the arc of the political conventions from 1988 to where they are today, and I will not argue with you, Joe. I think they're staged, orchestrated events. That's why we're gathering in the shadow of the DNC. As we said when we began this segment, they have some real meaningful conversation, and I can assure you we're not spending any taxpayers' money. Organizers and activists are self-funding to be there to really talk about these issues. So we see the convention as an opportunity for us as progressives to organize and really dialogue amongst ourselves and to send a real loud, clear signal to those folks inside the Pepsi Center that we need clean money. We need public financing of our campaigns, and we don't need our tax dollars going to that. We have enough work here at home where we could be spending that money, whether it be health care, affordable housing, where we can better spend that money. So I'm with you, Joe. We work within Progressive Democrats of America for what we call a clean election so that we are working to take those special interests out. If you look at who's paying, it's not just the tax dollars. It's more the corporation. There's not as much tax dollars in
there as you may think any longer.
Well, it's about $50 million for each convention that is earmarked for security. And if it's to protect elected officials, I'm less concerned than if it's intended to create these razor wire free speech zones that are miles away from the media and the convention itself. But, Joe, to your central point, I agree. I don't think taxpayer dollars should be funding party conventions.
There's one more question I wanted to ask.
Sure.
What is the opinion of the PDA why there have been no progressive candidates on the Democrat ticket since 1972 with George McGovern?
Well, you mean candidates who also won the nomination? No, I agree with you, Joe. We got a lot of work to do inside the Democratic Party, but we've had very authentic progressive voices that have run in the primaries. We have not succeeded yet to win back the nomination as we did in 1972 with George McGovern. So we've got a lot of work to do as progressives. The fight's inside. We've got to make sure that Dennis Kucinich is a standard bearer, hopefully in our lifetime. In 1964, the Republican Party really fell apart with the nomination of Barry Goldwater, but they made a commitment back then to work strategically over a long period of time until 1980. They ultimately won the presidency with Ronald Reagan, and I'd argue that as progressives, we're in the same boat. We got not just this election cycle or 2010-2012. We've got a lot of work to do, Joe, until we can be successful in doing that. I think that our party has been captured by the special interest and inside the beltways, and we need to struggle and fight. That's why PDA was born. When John Kerry accepted the nomination in 2004, many of us who worked for Howard Dean and Dennis Kucinich and Al Sharpton and Colonel Wilson Braun shared those same sentiments, Joe. That's why we've organized 140,000 grassroots activists around this district, around America in congressional districts to challenge our leadership. We got a lot of work to do, and I agree with you. We need a standard bearer that's a true, authentic progressive, and we're going to keep working until we get that.
And we hope that Obama wins in November, and if he does, our work does not end. We are going to have to keep fighting to get FISA reform, to get our Fourth Amendment back, to get the universal single-payer health care that we've been talking about, and to really make sure that there's follow-through on ending the occupation of Iraq and not just ramping up in Afghanistan mindlessly. Tim, head to the airport. You head to the airport. I will see you in Denver starting on Sunday, and look forward to talking with you on the program next week.
Thanks so much, Leo.
You bet.
Out there. Thank you. Talk
Tim Carpenter, Progressive Democrats of America, pdamerica.org. If you're on the line, stay there. We're going to continue with the free speech zone, and you can join us, too. There's room for more calls. 888-5-PETER-B. That's my toll-free number.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
With gentleness overcome anger. With generosity overcome meanness. With truth overcome deceit. These words are from Buddha, and they are some of the most beautiful and powerful words on the planet. They allow us to free ourselves of our anger, our pride, and our sorrow. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am honored to say that I am here on KRXA with my little radio program, Aspire, which is heard on Saturday and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And I hope that you will join me for a little bit of the uncommon, maybe something outside the box, something that speaks to the truth that lives within you and me. And maybe we will just find that which is the very meaning of our own existence. Please join me Saturday and Sundays at 9 a.m. here on KRXA.
Woo-hoo! Friar Tuck's Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at FriarTucksRestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Friar Tuck's, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Friar Tuck's, great food, great fun.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
This is an important message from Brian McGuff, Iraq War veteran and Purple Heart recipient.
More and more troops and veterans of Iraq believe George Bush's military policy has been a disaster. I am one of them. Rush Limbaugh called vets like me phony soldiers for telling the truth about Iraq.
The Rush Limbaugh Show, September 26th.
Welcome to the EIB Network. Hello.
Hi, Rush. Thanks for taking my call. They never talk to real soldiers. They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and stop them immediately.
The phony soldiers.
Rush, the shrapnel I took to my head was real. My traumatic brain injury was real. My belief that we are on the wrong course in Iraq is real. And so you have the guts to call me a phony soldier to my face. Stop telling lies about my service.
Tell Rush Limbaugh to stop insulting America's troops and veterans. Call 800-282-2882. Paid for by Vote Vets Action Fund.
Live from the Left Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we call this the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments welcome any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Oh, yeah, it's summertime, too. No shirt, no shoes, no problem. This is radio. I don't care what you're wearing. Call me now, 888-5-PETER-B. Nick Tandem's at the controls today, getting all checked out, because tomorrow I will be in Seattle with a remote broadcast from KPTK, Progressive Talk Station AM 1090, our affiliate that carries our program, what you're hearing now on Saturday night. I actually was broadcast originally on Thursday. I hope that doesn't confuse you too much, but you're welcome to send me an email if you listen on the weekends to let me know your thoughts, your reaction, your feedback to the show. And that email address is peter@peterbcollins.com. And one more time, I want to thank all the people who have stepped up and volunteered to send a little money in to help us cover our costs for the trip to Denver, the cost of the broadcast. There are a lot of incidental expenses that come up in making all that happen. And so I just want to thank all the people who have helped us out. And if you haven't done so and you'd like to, you're welcome to drop by my website at peterbcollins.com. And there's information there under the link, You Can Help. And if you don't have Internet access and you want to assist us, I certainly welcome that, too. You can just drop a check or even greenback dollars work to Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. Lines are open right now if you'd like to join the conversation, 888-573-8372, and let's talk to Anthony in Carmel Valley. Anthony, you're on the air. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you, Peter B. Yeah, I have a question about conventions. I don't know much about them. When I think of them, I think of ticker tape and speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is it an environment that's conducive to things like regime change or platform changes, or is everything pretty much set in stone by then? And
well, that's an interesting question because there is the potential for all kinds of unexpected things to occur. And so, for example, it's possible that the delegates from Michigan and Florida will make issues of their status and exactly how they will participate. There's a rules committee. There's a credentials committee. And most of this operates, you know, away from the cameras and behind the scenes, not necessarily in smoke-filled rooms and not necessarily all just with incumbent power politicians dictating what goes on. There is a process, and people do have votes. But as we learned, as the superdelegates were identified during this very close presidential primary, the party insiders have extra power, and they're not afraid to use it. But the power of disclosure and transparency, in many cases, can offset that. So we've had some very interesting battles that have broken out at Democratic conventions in the past. Jesse Jackson and California's Willie Brown led a delegation challenge back in 1972. And there have been occasional debates that have broken out about policy issues in the platform. But typically the platform itself is resolved beforehand. I have invited Michael Yockey, who is the chair of the Democrats' platform committee this year, to join us in our first hour on Monday from Denver. And we'll get a report from him on how the process works and, you know, just how democratic it really is. I've known Michael Yockey for many years, and some people will be happy and some people won't, as I described, that he's a former chief of staff to Nancy Pelosi. And so as a Pelosi loyalist, he is probably being relied upon to make sure that no real controversies erupt, such as, say, some floor, you know, an introduction from the floor of a resolution supporting impeachment. So while there is a democratic process and there is a lot of participation, the people who really control things are generally party loyalists who can be relied upon to respond to the desires of the leadership.
Hmm. Okay. I guess that answers it pretty well. But still leaving open the possibility of large, maybe a groundswell in another direction.
Well, I think that the biggest wild card will be the pro-Hillary folks who call themselves real Democrats, the Just Say No Deal folks. Will Bauer, who's been on this program several times, they hope to lead a rearguard action. And they also hope to persuade enough delegates who are not currently committed to Obama to vote for Hillary Clinton. And Obama has taken a minor risk here, I think, in permitting her name to be entered into nomination at a roll call vote. He and his team probably satisfied themselves that they've counted all the votes and that they know he has the clear number he needs to win the nomination on the first ballot. But if that doesn't occur, then, as I understand it from the past, delegates will be released from their obligation. The people, for example, who are going to the convention as, say, a pledged Obama delegate from, say, California, they are required to vote for Obama on the first ballot. But if he doesn't win it there, they are free to vote for Hillary should they so choose. And so there is, I think it's fairly remote, given my impression and my experience with the way these conventions are managed by the leadership. And clearly Pelosi has sided with Obama and is not, you know, does not want things to go out of control. But things can happen, and these pro-Hillary people are very strong, some extremely strident. Some petulant, in addition, and that's a
reason to keep fighting if she, you know, or to if she received that groundswell. I believe there was a decision recently that kind of keeps her on the hook for those dollars that she loaned to her campaign, if I remember correctly.
Well, I don't think that's related to exactly what the delegates do, because what happens here is that they can hold fundraisers for her until the night of the nomination. And once, you know, presuming that Obama nails it, once he is named the nominee, she can no longer raise money through her presidential committee. And so that's the cutoff that she's facing. And, you know, there are a lot of honest and open questions here about what would occur if Will Bauer and his colleagues are successful. Because if she, you know, somehow sneaks up on Obama and grabs the nomination from him next week in Denver, number one, it's going to be a very interesting crowd at the stadium on Thursday night. But number two, she would have to cobble together a campaign team, chairs in every state. She would have to pay off that debt and raise a boatload of additional money, because the Democratic National Committee doesn't have that much money. Most of it is in the Obama campaign proper. And so, you know, they have to be careful what they wish for, because if, and these are big ifs, but if they are successful in unseating Obama and, you know, reassigning the nomination to Hillary, then they've got 60-plus days to raise all that money, form a campaign, get a message going, prepare her for debates, yada, yada, yada.
She tapped out a lot of her sources, I believe.
It seems like it, but yeah. Bill's got a little more money left.
Thanks, Peter B.
Okay, Anthony, good to hear from you. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling today. 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to join us, 888-573-8372. So, you know, it's interesting, because my posture in going to Denver is that I want to kind of be a difficult character there. I am intending to upset some of the elected officials who will come down the line in Radio Row, and they'll get Tom Hartman, and they'll get Ed Schultz, and then they'll get Peter B. And where they're probably expecting happy talk and, oh, what's your favorite story about Obama, and how are we going to win in November? I'm going to be asking tough questions about single-payer health care, about the FISA cave-in, about the failure to impeach, about the denial of vulnerability of our election process, and the fact, in my view, that we saw the presidential races stolen in 2000 and 2004. And so I, you know, my position questioning even Obama's desire to put more troops into Afghanistan. These are all things that I'm going to be talking about, and they probably run counter to the currents of what you're going to see on MSNBC or even Fox News, the kind of happy spin from professional you know, pundits and elected officials who know how to deliver their talking points and stay on message. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be very interesting, and I hope you will tune in, log in. You can hear it on our regular affiliates, and as I mentioned, green960.com in San Francisco will be hosting a live stream, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific, podcasts and archived audio available right after the show at 6 p.m. Pacific time, and that all starts Monday. So thanks for all your help again in putting together our underwriting for the convention in Denver. We're going to take a break and return. R.J. Schulman, the intrepid reporter from the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch, will join me next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Checking traffic for the final time this evening on KRXA. We have a couple of minor problems. City streets of Salinas, Davis Road at Central Avenue, two-car fender bender. That's off to the shoulder. Heads up, Greenfield, North 101 before Thorne. We have a traffic cone. Cars are swerving to avoid that in the right-hand lane. 101 making your way through Salinas. We have no problems there. Highway 68 has been problem-free for most of the evening as well. 17 Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems, but you will see the usual slow traffic once you get to the fish hook in Santa Cruz. This is brought to you by Carfax
checks vehicle history reports, do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. Now, as always, if you're out and about and you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and every week we like to bring you the news you can't find anywhere else. That's right. The website where you get the information unavailable anywhere else, particularly in the corporate media, is ptsd1.blogspot.com. And the editor, publisher, and chief investigative reporter is the intrepid R.J. Shulman, who returns to our program today. Hello, R.J.
Hey, Peter B., how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, and boy, you have been busy gathering the news and reporting in your inimitable style.
And you are going to have an exclusive on this, as usual.
Well, let's get right down to it, because, as we know, the Iraqis have been pushing to get the U.S. troops out of there, and there's been this discussion about a timeline versus a time horizon. And the Bush administration supports the horizon but not the line. Is that right?
Yeah, because the timeline is like a timetable. And so they're saying the time horizon has absolutely no connection to a timetable, which, you know, they equate with giving up and surrendering and cutting tail and running and being like the French and putting up the white flag. But a time horizon is very patriotic.
Mm-hmm. And so does the president really think there's a big difference between a time horizon and a timeline? I don't see much.
Yeah, he says, and this is a quote, quote, "Even I know the difference. When I was in school, I could never learn those timetables, but I sure spent a lot of time staring out of the school window at the horizon." So in his mind, there's a huge difference.
Uh-huh. And did Karl Rove have anything to say about this? I know he's no longer officially a White House employee, but he seems to hold a lot of sway still.
Yeah, he says that, you know, obviously the reason that, it's kind of admitted that the reason that we're still there has to do with, you know, being able to secure the oil. So he was basically saying, Karl Rove, that, quote, "Our troops could leave right away if the oil companies are allowed to drill domestically for oil anywhere they want to instead of all those restrictions that Obama," and he calls him Obama and his posse, the Democrat Party, "are imposing on progress." So basically what he's saying is, look, if you let us drill everywhere, then we won't need Iraqi oil, and we won't need to be there anymore. So in essence, basically Obama is keeping us in the war.
That's quite a revelation. Now, I thought that Obama was keeping the war going so he could win an election. Isn't that the McCain charge?
Yeah, they're using that as well. I mean, it's one of these shotgun approaches where they're just going to try to throw out everything, and hopefully for them, the American people will believe at least one of them.
Mm-hmm. And what about Rick Davis? I saw him on TV last week. He's the lobbyist slash campaign manager for McCain. I guess he's co-campaign manager because they brought in this Steve Schmidt skinhead guy. But have you seen any recent photos of Rick Davis? Kind of looks like he had a bad encounter with a screen door or a glass deck door. You know, his nose just looks pushed in about an inch.
Yeah, I think he got into it with Karl Rove. We're investigating that right now.
Oh, really? Okay. So what did he have to say about McCain's view of all this and, you know, the ambition thing?
Yeah, he says that while Obama is keeping the war going for his own personal political ambitions, John McCain, being the maverick that he is, agrees with the Bush administration that drilling will get the troops home sooner and that a time horizon is much preferable to the timetable.
R.J. Shulman's with us. You can read his work at the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch. That's PTSD, the number one, .blogspot.com. And at this hour, we are still speculating about the vice president for both Obama and McCain. And you've got a scoop about McCain. This is stunning, R.J.
Yeah, we have learned through our exclusive sources that John McCain is going to pick Ronald Reagan.
Well, that'll make him look younger.
Yeah, that was part of what the strategist said, that it would make McCain look younger and more attentive to what's going on around him.
Uh-huh. Now, has anyone informed them that he actually expired some years ago?
Yeah, but they checked with Alan Dershowitz, who you know is the Harvard law professor, who actually, after researching it thoroughly, says there's nothing in the Constitution that says you have to be alive to be the vice president.
Oh, really? Wow, I thought that you know, had to be able to succeed the president if he was impeached or died in office. That kind
well,
of
what happens is if something unfortunately does happen to the president in this case, it would fall to Ronald Reagan, and it wouldn't be very different from, you know, the last years of his presidency when he wasn't really there much anyway, so I don't think they would notice that much difference.
Uh-huh. And once again, RJ, you get these juicy quotes from the president himself. He's on vacation at Crawford. I don't know how you got behind the lines there to get a quote. But he's quoted here as saying, I don't think it's bad to choose a kid a vice president without a pulse. After all, I have a vice president without a heart.
That's exactly right. That's we actually have that word for word.
Uh-huh. All right. So next story up here is no one smart can be elected president as a result of the Bush presidency. Explain this one for me.
Yeah, it's just like the attention span of Americans can't deal with any real issues anymore, and it has to be sound bites. Right now, Americans are not going to be able to deal with anyone who's smart in the White House because they've gotten so used to somebody who's very comfortable. As a matter of fact, many Americans feel that they are doing quite well themselves because they can, you know, create sentences and speak English much better than the president.
Uh-huh. Well, now, is this a new charge, one of these indirect swipes against Obama? I mean, last week we heard he was too skinny because he actually took his shirt off on the beach in that exotic state of Hawaii. And now he's too smart to be president. Is this just kind of a whisper campaign?
Yeah, I think that I think it's not so much a whisper campaign as actual studies are showing that his intelligence can get him in trouble. Obviously, Adlai Stevenson had that problem years ago in the 50s, but right now anybody who has an IQ that even approaches three digits is going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm. All right. And finally, RJ, what is the scoop on this phony Bigfoot story? I have to tell you that ever since I started to see it on TV, I've just tuned it out. Because it looked bogus to me from the beginning, and now it turns out that this thing was just a rubber suit that they photographed?
Well, actually, that's what the corporate media is reporting, but we had discovered the actual reports that this creature was identified as a missing Cheney friend.
Oh, really? Like from a hunting trip?
Yeah, that's exactly. A guy went out hunting with Well, his name was Wilfred Benson. He's an attorney from Alpharetta, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
He's a friend of Dick Cheney's, and they went out hunting, and he never came back, and his body was discovered by these you know, guys in the north woods of Georgia. And so once that was discovered, of course, the corporate media got in line and covered it up due to the pressure from the administration.
And once again, you got the exclusive quotes here in the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. Cheney, quote, "It's not my fault Big Willie got in the way of my shotgun after I've had a few." And then Bush weighed in, "I'm glad it was some stupid lawyer and not a real genuine Bigfoot, as those Darwinistas would try to de-Bible us by claiming it was the missing link and say something crazy like we're antecedents of chimps. Now, would somebody get me a banana and get these lice out of my hair?" Amazing stuff. R.J. Shulman, you always surprise me. Thank you very much for all the work you do.
Thanks, Peter B. I've got to go because I think the Homeland Security is knocking on the door here. So.
All right. Well, don't answer any questions till you talk to a lawyer. That's R.J. Shulman. Read his work at ptsd1.blogspot.com. Check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another T-shirt site, and it is, but look deeper. Read the stories represented in the T-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the T-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend, and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code PETERB in lowercase at MendingAmerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's MendingAmerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It looks like one of those defining moments in a presidential campaign. Republican John McCain, interviewed by political reporter Mike Allen, stumbled over a seemingly simple question.
How many houses do you and Mrs. McCain have?
I think I'll let my staff get to you. I'm going to tell you about this.
The McCain campaign later said they own at least 4 properties. Other estimates put the total as high as 7. Obama says it shows McCain can't relate to ordinary Americans. More from CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds.
McCain's housing advantage could complicate attempts to cast Obama, who owns $1 million home in Chicago himself, as an out-of-touch, arugula-eating elitist. The McCain campaign, caught flat-footed by their candidate's remark and fighting to get the news media onto a different story, fired up its own rapid response ad suggesting Obama purchased his home in a deal with a shady Chicago influence peddler.
Housing problem.
What's more, argued McCain's people, Obama made $4 million last year and is in no position to complain about McCain's wealth.
McCain's wife, Cindy, inherited a fortune estimated at $100 million from her father, an Arizona beer distributor. As for the question of a running mate, Obama's playing it very close to the vest.
You are not going to get anything out of me on the vice presidential. Nothing.
The only thing he will say is that he has made a decision. One man said to be under consideration is Indiana Senator Evan Bayh, who was questioned by reporters as he left home this evening.
Any news for us today?
Not tonight, sorry.
Obama and his choice will make a joint appearance on Saturday. The Food and Drug Administration has approved irradiation for two kinds of produce.
Lettuce and spinach will now be zapped to kill germs that might cause future outbreaks.
Irradiation is one additional tool. It's not a magic bullet.
This may work especially well on bagged lettuce and salads, which are sealed and can't be recontaminated. But Kansas State University's Dr. Doug Powell says irradiation may also make the products less attractive to health-conscious Americans.
The big question is, will consumers buy it?
Tammy McCormick, CBS News, New York.
There's widespread flooding in Florida as Tropical Storm Fay dumps buckets of rain. Governor Charlie Crist has issued another warning.